Thank you, Steve. Hi, everybody. It's the Friday edition of our show. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And we're joined by Dave Ennett, sports director here of WGN Radio. The voice of the Northwestern Wildcats, Wendy. Did you know that?
I know. That's very exciting.
Voice of the Northwestern
You really
Wildcats.
Don't need to go through the credits here.
I just want people to know who you are. It's
Thank
legit.
You.
An exciting night last night, but most Cubs fans didn't really get to find out about it until this morning as the Cubs clinch the National League Central title for the seventh time or the eighth time.
This is their
history.
Sixth division championship.
Sixth,
yeah.
Okay.
And those have all come since 1984,
mm-hmm.
but there was a drought in there, rather
of
lengthy.
A several-decade drought.
Well, not quite, but this one lasted from 2008 until this year.
Oh, that drought.
Yes.
Yeah, that's been a
division
long drought.
Titles.
Yes.
There have been other droughts.
Oh, yes. Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
The Cubs that we all grew up loving in the 60s and into the 70s, those guys, your Ernie Banks, your Ron Santos, mm-hmm. your Billy Williams, I could go on and on, those guys never made it into the playoffs, did they?
I mean, think about that. Think about that. And that's why we were talking about this when Ryan Dempster was in here yesterday. And people say, well, they should make a big deal out of the division championship because it's only one spot. Now you've got to play the division series. And if you win that, you play the NLCS.
Right.
You win that, you go to the World Series. But, yeah, those guys never even got to this point. Now, also keep in mind that for a long part of their careers, there wasn't divisional play. You
right.
either won the pennant and played in the World Series, or you went home.
Right, right. So that's how dramatically it's changed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Does it mean less that they won it this way?
Nope.
You could almost argue it means more.
Because yesterday you said you hope they do it on their own.
Yeah, I think it would have been more exciting. I watched the game last night, and for the fans there, they had a couple opportunities toward the end of the game,
mm-hmm.
and I think if that would have happened, it sure would have been nice for those fans.
Oh, well, it would have been crazy if Rizzo homers to,
yeah.
and then he walked, and Zobrist, if he'd hit one out
right.
and they walked off with the win, that would have been
yeah.
nuts.
Hey, who cares? Oh, they're
but,
in it.
Yeah,
see, here's the thing. People say, well, they backed into it. They've won 93 stinking games.
Yeah,
hey,
I mean,
that's not back. You don't back into anything when you win 93 games.
Right.
Right? I mean.
Right. No doubt about it. They have earned this,
yes.
right?
Where no doubt
now.
About it.
I should write a song like that. we all have a romantic vision of what the Cubs teams of the past have been, but realistically, this is the best team we've ever seen, isn't it?
I don't
Cubs
think,
wise.
Honestly, Bill, in the years that I've been around the Cubs, I'm getting up there now.
Yeah.
I mean, this is hands down. Now, the 84 team was very good.
They were.
No question about it. 89, we thought they were pretty good. They ran into the Giants and see you later.
Yeah.
2003, that was a very good team, and obviously they came as close as any of them.
Yeah.
And then the 2008 team was a team that won a lot of ball games during the season, but again, they got swept 2 years in a row in the playoffs. So this is, I think, as you examine the schedule and you look at the fewest blemishes.
Mm-hmm.
I think this team has the fewest of all those.
There's
teams.
Really no. There's no one area
yeah.
you could go. If
I mean,
only
I,
they had this.
Yeah, I don't. What are they lacking? I mean, last night. Look at it this way. Last night, the Yankees are leading Boston, going to the bottom of the ninth at Fenway Park, and Boston scores five runs.
Yeah.
A walk-off homer. You don't think they would have liked to have Aroldis Chapman in their bullpen still?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, but he's here.
Yeah.
So, I look at this. If one guy falters in the bullpen, they got a bunch of other arms out there they can go to. Their starters, you have an embarrassment of riches in your starting rotation. A guy who's really good, England will be able to pitch in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And that happens with a lot of teams, but not to this point.
Nobody saw. They have, I guess you could realistically say they have two Cy Young Award candidates at this point, couldn't
mm-hmm.
you? Right?
Yeah.
Nobody saw the back end of the staff being anywhere near as good as the front end. Kyle Hendricks is the biggest surprise in baseball, isn't he?
He's got to be. He's got to be. I mean,
an ERA just above two.
I mean, Rick Porcello's won 20 games for the Red Sox.
Yeah.
But. Yeah, then again, they've scored a ton of runs for him, and they've scored some runs for Hendricks, but
yeah.
I think it's been really more his pitching. I mean, you look at he's only given up, I think, three runs in one start over the last couple of months.
Right.
I mean, he's been absolutely lights out. He put his record and Lester's record the second half together.
Yep.
I mean, it's like a Super Sutcliffe.
Right. That's what they're calling it. They're referring this right. as a Super Sutcliffe.
Exactly.
What can White Sox fans like Wendy do now for the next couple of weeks as the town just goes a little
bit
crazy?
Hockey.
You can just wait for the
Blackhawks go to camp next week.
I know.
Right.
It's coming soon. It's coming soon.
Yeah. Well, look, Cubs fans went through it in 05.
It's not over yet, guys.
It's not over.
It's a long ways from over.
But the Cubs don't play a playoff game until 3 weeks from today.
Right.
So that's a long time
that is.
To be sitting here and trying to figure out how the playoff roster is going to be shaped and who's going to start game one. And that's all you're going to hear about for the next 3 weeks.
Congratulations, Cub fans.
Isn't that nice to hear? I love hearing that. There was a stat on the game the other day that was kind of disturbing where they said, even though you would think, common sense would tell you that the first team to clinch is often your World Series champion, it's quite the opposite. That more times than not, the first team to clinch, as the Cubs did last night, are not the World Series champion, and I wish I didn't know that.
Well,
not yet.
But sometimes it is.
Me.
I mean, it's one of those things. It's possible. Anything is possible
sure.
once you get into the playoffs. But if you look at the field, you look at this team, and we talked about it a little bit earlier this morning, they are better. They're not only better, but they're considerably better than the other teams they're going to be playing. Now,
right.
Are they that much better than maybe Washington
That's
on a
the team
given
that
day?
Scares me.
Or now that Kershaw's back with the Dodgers.
Right.
I mean, that's something. I know people don't seem to be worried about the Dodgers, and maybe there's reason for that. But when they've got Kershaw as part of their rotation,
they get very dangerous.
In a short series, that could be tough. But I think overall, they couldn't set up any better for the Cubs.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't work out, now they try to clinch home field throughout, which
yeah.
they'll probably end up with too.
I would think.
And they're 30 games over 500 at Wrigley.
Yeah.
So
realistically, round one, we'll see the Cubs face either the San Francisco Giants, the New York Mets, or the Cardinals. I would like it to be the Cardinals out of those three, wouldn't you?
Well, the Cardinals haven't played very well lately.
Right.
That's why you want it to be the Cardinals.
And the Cubs beat them last year in the division series.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure. I think that, I mean, you're probably right. Among those three,
mm-hmm.
San Francisco's had the worst second half of anybody in baseball, but they're still going to make the playoffs, it
mm-hmm.
looks like. And they still can throw Madison Bumgarner at you. The Mets can still throw Noah Syndergaard at
mm-hmm.
you, and they've got
these names.
Yeah, I mean,
you would love him. Do you know who he is?
Mm-mm.
He's the one they
He's
call
Thor.
Thor. He looks like Thor.
What's his name?
Noah Syndergaard. He looks exactly like Thor.
But they've had some injuries, a lot of injuries to that team. I think I would, of those teams, I would least like to see the Mets.
Yeah, me too.
They worry me.
Yeah, most the Cardinals, least the Mets right now.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think. The Cardinals, it's playing a team from your own division can be a little worrisome.
Yeah, sometimes.
But
not a problem last year, but it doesn't mean they'd repeat.
Remember, they started at St. Louis last year and
I
then
know.
Came here. This time they would start here, then go to Busch Stadium.
Yeah.
So,
but the Cardinals are very weak in their own ballpark.
Yeah, they have been. And the Cubs have been good at home and on the road.
Yeah.
But they've been obviously better here.
Yeah.
So.
Noah Syndergaard, by the way.
Yeah.
Can't like a guy who has better hair than you do.
He's got incredible hair. He really does. He has incredible hair. Dave, one last question really quick. The same names keep coming up for the Cubs, and it really has been a different hero every night for them almost all season long. Give me one name on the Cubs team that you really think has been kind of an underrated star that has made a bigger contribution than we've all given credit for.
Boy, underrated. Well, I mean,
my vote would go to David Ross.
That's the name I was just going to say. But I was also thinking about, not that he was necessarily underrated. He was a key acquisition last offseason. But did anyone expect Ben Zobrist to have the kind of season he's had, and especially the way he started? Remember his April?
Mm-hmm.
And the Cubs are going 17-5. Zobrist really ignited this
mm-hmm.
team. So I think, but, and you can't say Dexter Fowler's underrated. I think he's gotten his due.
Right.
There aren't too many underrated guys.
I've heard of all the names, so that's...
David Ross, his backstory is he was going to retire last year. He's been a catcher for a good long time and just said, I got one. Yeah, they call him Grandpa
Rossi.
They call him Grandpa Rossi.
39 years old.
So Cub management had to come to him and say, look, we respect the fact that you want to retire, but it would really be great for all parties involved if you'd stick around one more season, help us with the pitching staff.
Show these kids around.
And has it been
it's been great.
It's been great.
And he's had a good year.
Yeah, 9 home runs, some key
hits. I mean
it
when I say congratulations, Cubs fans, but I am not switching sides.
You don't need to switch.
I am still never wearing royal blue.
You don't have to.
We don't own any royal blue in our family. But congratulations,
Cubs
fans.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
Nor should you switch.
Not gonna.
Can Paul Popovich stay at your house during the playoffs? Would you be okay with that?
No.
Come on. All right, well, Dave,
if it's Grant Mulvey, it'd be okay.
Yeah, Grant Mulvey would be fine, but not Paul Popovich. All right, a quick break. Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it. We'll take a break.
Go Cubbies.
And then there's more. Oh, I like hearing that. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
A story that's making news right now, Chicago Cubbies.
Why isn't Eddie Vedder remaking this song? I don't understand why he and the boys don't get in the sound studio and remake that Hey Hey Holy Mackerel song.
He has his own song.
Yeah?
Love for the Cubs.
All right.
I hate Royal Blue.
Uh-oh.
Can I
this
just
started
tell you,
out
though,
so beautiful.
No,
what happened?
And I mean this from the bottom of my heart.
Yes.
Cubs fans, enjoy the ride. You know? Really, congratulations.
Well, yes. First of all, yes. Second of all, as Dave pointed out, we now have about 3 weeks to just let this soak in, the fact that they are going to the playoffs and hopefully beyond. And then because the nature of baseball is there's a game kind of almost every night, so sometimes it's over before you know it, and you have to, you know, just take a step back and realize we've been waiting years for this, and I think we're in good shape. I hope we're in good shape.
I have to tell you a story. When my kids started Little League, and I don't like this. I remember growing up and in Brookfield, the Roy A. Overholt Field, and there'd be Pinner Electric, and there'd be, what were the other things? It was a company who would sponsor them, and that was the name of their team.
Yes.
Now it's like all the baseball teams, which I don't really like. And of course, both times my kids started Little League, they were on the Cubs.
Well,
was hard for
that
us.
That was intentional to make you squirm a little bit, I think, whoever put that together. So you're saying that the teams in the early days didn't have the teams of the major league teams?
No, it was just like, you know, Pinner Electric sponsored it, so that was the team name, and they were green, I think. Lions.
They were called the Pinner Electrics? They weren't just called the Astros or the Mets or the Dodgers?
No, I don't know if there was a mascot or a name. It was just Pinner Electric is playing against the Lions Township.
Because we had... I played Little League for 8 years, and we had the names of the teams like the Major League, but then they also gave our moms sponsor sheets to kind of sew into the back of our uniforms.
Your moms had to do that?
Our moms had to do it, or if a dad was so inclined, but I wouldn't have my mom do it. I got in a lot of trouble one year because I said, I watch baseball, and the players don't have sponsor sheets on the back of their jersey, so I'm not doing it either. And every game, before the game, the manager would call me over, and he'd go, hey, you really need to get that
Hearthside
Realty thing on the back of your jersey. And I'd go, yeah, they don't do it in the big league, so I'm not going to do it.
I totally would have benched your butt.
Did you spit your beach nut at his shoes?
I also wouldn't do the hey batter thing because they don't do that in the professional league. So I, he'd go, hey, little chatter out there at third base, and I'd go, no.
That's funny because in my mind I placed you at third, just lips first.
Third.
Nope, not going to do it. Not going to do it.
I'm not playing your game. So I wanted the experience to be much like the pros.
Well, so did the kids, but now they just have T-shirts. Back when you played, I'm sure it was
full
a button-down jersey and
cotton
pants.
Uniforms.
Yep.
Well, wool.
Wool uniforms,
oh, yeah.
And we traveled by train
but, you
from
know,
game
the,
to game.
But chatter's gone away now because it's just not sportsmanlike.
Do they not do hey, better, better?
Oh, yeah,
anymore?
They don't do that.
No,
you can't say anything.
See, I'm okay with that because I don't think it ever really distracted the batter the way they told us.
Actually, I used to yell Crawford just
Crawford,
to mess with people.
Crawford.
See, now they have the fielders encouraging the batter. Come on, you can do it. You can do it.
We're all in this
Absolutely.
Together.
Come on, baby.
Come on, Benjamin. We're all in this together.
Oh, good swing.
Yes.
Yeah, we both kids were on the Cubs, and then at the end of the season, Dylan put like he took a Sharpie marker and made like the no sign, like no Cubs.
Oh,
but they were on it; they did it, and you know, I'm not going to that side. But congratulations,
thank you,
and good luck.
That's very kind of you. Thank
and you,
you
say thank you because you are a fan of both teams, which
I
always doubt, but you really are.
You know, I am,
and you're a fan of wiffle ball, evidently.
Oh boy, I am so looking forward to Sunday. We had Mike Leonard on, who has done various correspondent work, mostly for NBC, and he was kind enough to invite me to. I had him on years ago at another station, and he told me about this wiffle ball stadium that he's got built in his yard, and I was drooling. I was listening to this, just drooling, going, oh, one day I would love to play.
And it took you how many years for him to finally invite
Six
you?
6 years.
Well, that's, you know, how long have the Cubs waited to win the World
108
Series?
108 years.
So you're going to go play wiffle ball at Mike's house?
Yeah, at his stadium, at his wiffle ball stadium.
Wow, nice.
On Sunday.
Is John Lovitz coming?
He's not going to be there.
No?
No. Show me your swing. You can't hit a wiffle ball.
I'd embarrass you and me at the same time.
We'd all be embarrassed. Don't even swing at a wiffle ball.
And I have a busy weekend, too, non-baseball related. On Sunday, a run for Kelly, the run for Kelly
on. This is a big thing.
Kelly Joy O'Loughlin was a freshman at Lyons Township High School, LT, where my son goes. Mm-hmm. And her life was taken by a burglar in her home. This was a terrible, tragic story. She came home after work. There was a burglar in her house. Kelly's family, much of the community, come together every year to remember her and celebrate her life and raise money for her memorial foundation. And they give out a scholarship. The Kelly Joy O'Loughlin Memorial Foundation gives out a scholarship to kids at LT.
Yeah.
So there is a run happening on Sunday morning, and it is at the LT campus. You can join them for a 1 mile walk or a 3 mile run. Run starts at 9 a.m., and you can go to, let me get the exact website.
You did this last year, too, right?
I did do it last year. They have a lot of raffle prizes that you can be involved in and win stuff, and I do not run.
Oh,
that's all I'm telling
you. Don't have
to. I
can, just being there, is showing support is important.
I don't have the exact website here, people.
All right.
But you can look up Kelly Joy O'Loughlin and find out the Kelly Joy O'Loughlin Memorial Foundation, the Run for Kelly, happening Sunday morning at LT South Campus. I'll be there at 8:30, bright and early.
Good. Very, very nice of you to do this. We'll take a break. Steve has the news. And then you can get your cell phones blessed.
How about this?
A little bit.
How about this?
How about that? I'm Mel Allen. All right. Stick around. Big Show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
iPhone 7 out today. It is out. I have an iPhone 6, which I'm happy with. It has the headphone jack, which I'm going to keep.
Who's
going to
call you now on an iPhone 6, Wendy? No one's going to call you. You have to have a 7.
Well, I upgraded to the new software, and Kevin, you did as well? Because you didn't?
I don't think I have yet, no.
I sent you an email a text this morning where it looks like a little black chalkboard, and I wrote good morning with a smiley face.
Oh,
because you responded good morning to you too, or something.
Yeah, I gotta figure that out now.
Oh yeah, you gotta upgrade the latest thing. I don't know if I have to worry about getting my iPhone 6 blessed, but anyone who has purchased a brand new iPhone 7s or 7 plus, what are they called?
I don't know.
Why am I asking you?
I don't know.
Christian Kuhn is in the studio. We know Pastor Christian Kuhn from Urban Village Church. You come up and distribute ashes for us on Ash Wednesday and do it around the city, but you have a different plan today.
We do, and we are going to be in front of the two Apple stores here in Chicago offering blessings not only for the iPhone 7s, but any electronic devices that anyone wants to bring by. So, Bill, if you can get out your Commodore 64.
I'll bring that out.
We will bless that for you.
It needs a good blessing.
All right, I know that St. Christopher is the patron saint of safe travel, so a lot of people have a St. Christopher medal in their car. Is there a particular patron saint of electronics?
That's a good question. Steve Jobs, maybe? I don't know.
It's pretty close.
Yeah, that's
very,
a good
question.
I'll have to think about that. I'll have to think about that.
Yeah.
Not that I'm aware of, but we can come up with one.
And what is this blessing for, so we don't break the screen?
Yeah, I think, you know, our electronic devices become so much a part of our lives, and we use them without thinking. I mean, I certainly am guilty of that, too. And so we wanted just for take a few seconds for people to come by and say a prayer and a blessing, asking for God to bless the person and the device, but also that however they use it, there might be peace and wholeness as they connect with others.
Oh, what a nice tie-in. That's beautiful.
That is really nice.
We also, we have, and I've got them for you too, we have these stickers, invisible, well, not invisible stickers, but the background is invisible, that people can put on their phone to remind them of, again, to think about peace and connection as they are on their phone doing whatever they do.
That really is a nice message that you're passing along here.
Yeah, we think it makes a lot of sense. Again, just because it's almost an appendage now for so many of us. And so if we believe that God is a part of all of who we are, then certainly God is a part of that or should be a part of that. And so we want people to be thinking about, if they are a person of faith, how God might be working as they check Twitter or Snapchat or whatever they do.
It would be nice to always think about that. Do you think God is into the Apple products or the Samsung?
I'm going to go on a limb and say yes to everything.
A little bit of everything. But how about, I mean, we live in a day and age now where the Pope himself tweets. I mean, popes from the other centuries, I don't think did that. I'm pretty sure they did not.
I need to go back my history book. I'm going to say, no, I'm going to agree with you on
this
that.
The first time that's happened,
But see, that's getting the message out. The Pope knows that that's where people find most of their news these days.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we are, like our church is certainly on social media in a lot of different ways, trying to get that message out, whether it's 140 characters or more than that. But again, I don't think we spend enough time thinking about the actual devices. Like, what are we using to send those messages? And I think that's a part of the whole package and message too.
Right. When I was a kid, Christian, kids in my school figured out we had calculators, and if we would type in the number 1134 and hold it upside down, it would say hell. Those kids are going to go to hell now, aren't they? They are.
If they come and get, they can bring those calculators today in front of the two Apple stores, and we will make sure that they're okay.
Oh, you do that for them? That's
sure.
So kind of you. Thank
Texas
you
Texas Instruments, you know, devices will be happy.
Those are the
to.
Best. Yeah. All right.
Think about it, though. If you do get your phone blessed, obviously there aren't going to be too many kids there because they're in school right now. But all the bullying that goes on via social media and through this iPhone or Windows phone like Bill has.
Mine,
It would cause you to think for a minute, maybe before you send some rude stuff.
That's the hope. So much of most every morning I send out a devotional tweet about 7:30, 8 o'clock.
Do you? Yeah.
And it is so easy to get into, not just with the bullying, but with all the politics and the meanness that happens in there, to at least for me to take a little bit of time to put out hopefully what's a positive message in the midst of all the other angriness that we see.
Good idea. Your church, the Urban Villain Church, Village,
not villain, villain.
Not villain, village.
Good golly.
Hi, Dr. Freud. You guys are multi-denominational, correct?
No, we are Methodist.
Oh, you are Methodist.
We're multi-site, so we have locations in four neighborhoods in the city.
Oh, all right, all right. I applaud you guys for the fact that you are the first to jump on the fact that the world is constantly changing. So you do things like you do on Ash Wednesday where you go out to the people instead of having the people come out to you. That those are good innovations. You're doing the right thing there.
Well, we like to think so. So we don't own any buildings at all. We don't rent office space. The only space we rent is on Sunday mornings when we have our worship times. And so hopefully that frees us up to be out in the city in lots of different places. I think we all joke about our briefcases and our backpacks smell like coffee because we spend so much time in coffee shops meeting with people and doing our work and so on.
Yeah.
All right, I'm looking at your Twitter feed right now. I just followed you. You did a blog post on love and fatherhood with a dash of Harry Potter. People can follow you at Christian Koon, C-O-O-N. What's your hashtag on Twitter? Just that? At Christian Koon.
That's my handle, yeah.
Okay.
Now, can I ask you really quick, since Wendy just mentioned Harry Potter, I know people who are very religious, not just fairly religious, who take issue with the Harry Potter stories. You do not. You don't see that as a competition to religion,
do you? Oh, no, not at all. We're a huge Harry Potter family. We just finished Harry Potter and the Cursed Child this summer. And the reason I talked about that, there's a really great line in the book where Harry is talking to his wife, Ginny, about their son. And he said, I love my son particularly. And I thought that was a really great line, the way God loves each of us. When we talk about, you know, when we say God loves you, we think there's kind of a nebulous general love, but we believe that God loves each of us particularly. And so we want, that's one of the message I wanted to convey. And I think today with the blessing too, even for people to stop and think just for a few seconds, someone is looking at me, paying attention to me, cares about me, makes a huge difference.
It makes you feel like you want to be a better person because someone cares. You know, we all try to please someone, don't we?
Yeah, but and especially live too, with so much of our who we are is virtual, and to have someone look you in the eye, maybe touch your hand, something like that. I think it makes a huge difference that I'm known, I'm loved, and this is not just some thing that I see on a computer screen or a phone screen.
So why are some people who are of deep religion and faith so opposed to a story like Harry Potter where they say it's wizardry and witchcraft?
You're talking about
instead
the Catholics, aren't you? There's
not,
a certain
not
chapter.
Not 100%, but yeah. The
of
people
Christians that, like, a family member would not let their daughter read any of the Harry Potter because it was a different thing. There was also a different version of the Bible that he wouldn't allow them to read. Everybody, you know, kind of does their own thing.
Mm. I'm guessing that for some folks, the whole notion of magic and witchcraft and wizardry makes them nervous.
Yeah.
And so they may think that that is a competition to the God they believe in, whereas I think there's so many wonderful metaphors in that story that you can easily use in the Christian faith. I know there's a book I used for a study a few years ago called The Gospel According to Harry Potter. And the author looks at the Christian message and some of the messages of Harry Potter and sees how they can interrelate.
Star Wars, too. I know there's been a lot of comparisons over the years to the Star Wars movies.
My son would wholeheartedly agree with you. Yeah.
All right. We have Anderson who has a question or comment. Hi, Anderson. How are you? We're talking to Pastor Christian Kuhn from Urban Village Church. He's going to be blessing iPhones today.
I'm doing great. Thanks. Thanks so much for taking my call. I was just really moved by what you're doing. I lead a men's accountability group through my church, and I love the idea of the stickers, and I'd love to be able to get those because so many times a lot of the men that I serve are using their phones to access pornography. You know, they're doing things on their phones that they really shouldn't. And so I was first off just really moved and also wanted to see if I could connect to try and see if I could get some of these stickers. I obviously won't be able to get my group out to have all their phones blessed, but I just think it's such an incredibly powerful tool as a reminder for everybody.
It's amazing. Just this morning, so we've been publicizing it this morning, and the number of requests that we've been getting for these stickers has been pretty amazing. So we're going to, on our website, urbanvillagechurch.org, and also on our Facebook page, Urban Village Church Chicago, people can go on there. And we're going to be putting something up sometime, hopefully today, about how they can get one of those stickers.
Perfect. Good luck to you. Bless you, Anderson. Thank you for calling.
We just got a text from a young man named Anthony Weiner. Wants to know if he could have one sent out to him. Is that possible?
Not going to help.
With some extra prayer
set
along the way.
You know how the Samsung phones were exploding? If you put a sticker or tried to bless that phone, that's exactly what would happen.
It would pop. It would explode.
We have to take a quick break, and then I was wondering if perhaps you could bless that. If you could bless.
Wow.
Bless this whole studio.
Yes, you need to definitely exorcise it because I don't exorcise enough. Will you bless our phones when we come back?
Absolutely.
All right. He is Pastor Christian Kuhn from Urban Village Church.
Let's call it a day, Wendy. Let's just call it a day.
Go to Urban.
RealCon is next. Thanks for joining us, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
UrbanVillageChurch.org, 312-981-7200. It's Bill Left, Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN.
Well, we're all a little shocked that Christian Kuhn, pastor of the Urban Village Church, is still here.
The villain?
Village Church. Did I say villain?
God.
After the things we've said to you, Christian,
so
I'm
sorry.
Shocked that you're still
Villain's
here.
Villain's breasts.
It's a den of sin is what this is. It's Sodom and Gomorrah right in front of you. I don't know why you're here, but you're Gomorrah. You're Gomorrah. All right, so you're going to be blessing the new iPhone 7s today in front of the Apple stores. What can people expect? Will there be long lines to have them blessed? Can they just get in and out fairly quickly? Do we know?
It takes probably 6 seconds to bless
it?
The phone. Yeah,
all right.
And so they're there now. So we've got three folks at the Michigan Avenue location and the. Three folks at the North and Clybourne Red Line Station.
Excellent, excellent. Sure. Okay, and that goes today from now until what
1 o'clock.
Time? Until 1 o'clock. Mm-hmm. All right. Also, visit the website Urban Village Church.
Is it because we're such terrible people that there's a pastor in the studio and all of a sudden we're falling apart?
Yep. I think that's
I'm scared to do anything.
Be honest, that's what it is.
Do you want your phone blessed?
Please.
All right, you can pass it along.
Please.
Six
Could
you seconds.
Also bless the Cubs. They've got a huge, huge couple of weeks coming up in front of them.
I think the Cubs have so many people blessing and praying for them, but I'll certainly add mine to the list. Too.
All right.
So
thank
you have
you
this Nokia
much.
Here. All right.
Yes.
God bless this phone and the person who uses it. Give him peace, wholeness, and strength as he connects to others. Amen.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
You're supposed to say amen back
amen? And unto you. That's what we say, right?
Oh, and with your spirit, yes, there's a new thing that Catholics say. For all these years, we've memorized everything, and then they changed it, so you have to use the little
It used
cheat
to be
sheet.
And unto you, but now it's right back at you. That's what they say.
Can you pass
Wendy,
my phone
absolutely.
Along? And Kevin, are you going to get your phone blessed right before your wedding? I think
sure.
you should.
All right. God bless this food and the food. Now you've got me.
Wow.
We've ruined
it's
him.
It's contagious.
So totally.
You're questioning your faith now, aren't you? I knew that would happen.
I was hoping to maybe bring you up, and now you've brought me down.
Oh, that's how we roll.
All right.
Oh, no.
God bless this phone and the person who uses it. Give her peace, wholeness, and strength as she connects to others. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Since you blessed my phone, it can walk again.
You are so making light of this. All right, and we have Kevin that has to do it as well. And again, Pastor Christian Kuhn will be in front of the Apple stores, he and his people, on Michigan Avenue and at North and Clybourne until 1 this afternoon?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have Kevin's phone?
I've got Kevin's.
All right.
Here we go. God bless this phone and the person who uses it. Give him peace, wholeness, and strength as he connects to others. Amen.
Perfect. It doesn't have to be an iPhone. It doesn't have to be an iPhone 7. It can be any type
Flip
of electronic.
Phones, tablets, typewriters.
You're doing typewriters.
Sure. However
very nice
people communicate these
video
days.
Video games.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Want to talk to you about something that came across CNN back in May. I'm sure you're aware of this, but many Americans say they attend church because it helps them stay grounded and it gives them some spiritual guidance. But a new study suggests that regular attendance may also help to increase their lifespan. Did you know about this study?
I like it. I like it a lot. And I think there's a story once told by another pastor who talked about the benefits of being in community and talked about that same kind of thing, that those who are in community like that live longer. And so he said something like, it is better to eat broccoli and be alone, or no, better to eat Twinkies with others than to eat broccoli and die alone.
Wow, that's beautiful.
That is beautiful.
Yeah.
Researchers, they studied a bunch of 75,000 middle-aged female nurses in the United States. It was part of this nurses' health study. The researchers found that women who went to church more than once a week had a 33% lower risk of dying during that study period. Women who regularly attend religious services also had higher rates of social support and optimism, because it's, again, part of a community.
Sure, yeah.
Lower rates of depression and were less likely to smoke.
Go to church. It's good for your health.
Yep.
It is good for your health.
Yeah.
And if you want something that's good for your electronics, particularly your iPhone 7, which has been released today, although I'm hearing that the lines aren't as long as when the iPhone 6 came out.
Right.
They were pretty long when we got there this morning, right at 10, but I'm not sure.
Were they?
Yeah.
Okay.
Get your devices blessed by Pastor Christian Kuhn and the Urban Village Church. You can always go to urbanvillagechurch.org. There, I said it this time. And again, your locations and the time that you're going to be out there today.
We'll be in front of the Apple Store on Michigan Avenue and the Apple Store at the North Clybourne Red Line stop from 10 o'clock until 1 o'clock today.
Very good. Christian, great to see you again. Thanks
Thank
for,
you.
Thanks
Thank
for putting
you.
Up with Wendy's nonsense.
Great to be
it's
here.
Not just
so
me.
Embarrassed for her. Thanks so much. A quick break and then Steve's news next. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Steve, thanks. It's me, Bill Leff. It's her,
Kurt
Wendy Snyder.
Wagner.
And Kurt has a song now that Wendy has written.
Kurt
is this my new theme song?
Yeah. Do you like this? Wendy's writing it as we speak.
I'm done. That was it.
It was great.
Thank you.
That was a great song. Kurt Wagner is the owner and proprietor of TVShowPatrol.com. If you have a love for television, visit TVShowPatrol.com.
And even if you don't.
Even if you hate television,
yes.
Come visit the website. Kurt, this is when it gets good right about now, because you have all the new shows coming out. You have all the favorites, returning shows all premiering.
Yes, sir.
This is the best time of the year for television.
It is.
Nothing's been canceled yet. Everybody has high hopes.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe 2 weeks from now, we'll start seeing the first cancellations.
That's when it declines. Because this was a game I used to play with friends of mine. We would look through the schedules of what was coming up, and we would all make a pick as to which show would be canceled. Do you ever do that?
Yeah.
Canceled first.
I haven't actually done that for this year, though, but the stuff that I won't watch is stuff that probably will stay.
What's
on
your
a
guess? What'll be the first show to go?
I don't even know. I couldn't even tell you. Yeah, that's.
You're too optimistic for that sort of thing.
I am pretty optimistic.
All right, let's go through some of the shows that'll be premiering Friday, September 16th, which is today.
we get Fleabag. What is Fleabag?
Oh, it's this British joint that is about a woman who is sort of depressed and things haven't gone right for her, and she's on the London dating scene, and it's just sort of her misadventures.
And is it already an existing show in England, or is this something new to America only?
I don't know. I think it might be new all over.
Yeah. All right. That's Fleabag, and you can get that again where?
It's on the Flix, right?
On the Flix.
Well, is it on the Flix or is it Amazon?
I think that one's
on
Amazon.
Oh, it's Amazon. It is
what
Amazon.
Word do you think of to go to follow Fleabag every time you hear that
hotel.
Word?
Hotel.
Yep.
Fleabag Hotel. That's the adjective that we used to describe.
I thought it was
hotels.
Motel, but...
Or sometimes motel, yeah. Sure. Motel or hotel. Now, there's an influx. We talked about this a little bit last week. There's a bunch of shows about the death of JonBenet Ramsey. And on Sunday, CBS has a documentary about this, right?
Yes, it's a three-night documentary series.
We had someone from the Investigative Discovery Channel, and that is kind of like the National Enquirer
version,
sort of.
Yeah.
They claim they had new information, but this is the one I really am looking forward to.
Yeah, that one, I think there was some controversy over that one, like how its final reveal or something, but I can't remember if that was exactly the one. There's been so many of them.
But this one,
they actually got all the original investigators.
Yeah.
And a bunch of people involved in the original case and brought them together. They rebuilt parts of the Ramsey household to you know, CSI the heck out of it, mm-hmm. I guess. And apparently they don't say that they've have some kind of smoking gun or anything, but I think they all come to a unanimous conclusion about
who did it.
Who did it.
Really?
Yes.
How could they be accurate? Because they did a mock-up of the house. They rebuilt the house, essentially. But wouldn't you have to actually go to the real house to really pull this off?
I think the idea is that since it's all the original investigators and then some new folks, new experts, that you have the historical part of that with the, you know, what they saw when they saw it. And I'm sure that house was measured down to the you know, iota.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they rebuilt it, I think it's just to maybe pace off some stuff. I don't know for sure.
All right. So that starts on Sunday.
Because I am not an investigator.
No, I know. You've made that clear in the past. We've asked Kurt to solve some crimes for us. And
he's
he
not that good
us,
at it.
No.
He says,
I'm not an investigator. And the reason for all the JonBenet mania is that this is the 20th anniversary of her death.
Yeah.
Sad. In December. Why is it not coming in December? I guess because around the holidays you wouldn't watch it.
This is
that
more.
Might be that exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. This is more of a big ratings get this time.
I mean, I think CBS is probably the others have already been on, but I think CBS believed that, you know, ours is the top notch one.
Yeah.
And it's during prime time, you know, new season week and everything, you know, so everybody's eyes are on television.
That makes sense. On Monday, we get on NBC a new sitcom called The Good Place. What is The Good Place?
Oh, The Good Place is really funny. I've actually seen the first two episodes. It stars Ted Danson, everybody's favorite white-haired gentleman.
Becker.
And
everyone loves him from Becker.
And
everyone's grandma loves him from Becker.
That's a truer statement.
Yeah.
And then, now I'm not going to think of the actress's name.
Ruth Buzzy?
No, not Ruth Buzzy. But she...
Phil.
Wouldn't that be a great show?
Yeah.
Becker and Ruth Buzzy fighting
crime? So the
idea
is that this woman dies, and she goes to the good place.
Yeah.
It's not heaven, as we like to think of it.
Yeah.
But as Ted Danson's character explains, he's in charge of this place.
Yeah.
He's like the one who built... this is the place that he built for God, basically.
Yeah.
Kristen Bell?
Yeah, Kristen Bell.
Oh.
And he screws up. This is his first time doing this, and he screws up because he thinks he gets her name right, but he gets all of her facts wrong. So, you know, they build your house when you go to the good place to be everything that you like.
Yeah.
Like her house is, I don't know, what do they call it? Some kind of Icelandic style.
Uh-huh.
And a primitive Icelandic style. And then she has a bunch of clown pictures on the wall because she loves clowns.
Really?
And so Kristen Bell's character never says anything the whole time he's introducing her and showing her this stuff. And then she confesses to this guy later on, you know what? None of these memories are mine. I hate clowns. I don't know what primitive Icelandic
is.
Style is. I'm not that person. He's got my name right, but nothing else. And so then things start to go wrong.
Oh.
In The Good Place. Like there's storms that involve flying shrimp because she stole a bunch of shrimp at this place. It's very bizarre. It's like, you know, sort of off in a great way, but it's really funny. And there's a moment in the second episode where Ted Danson does something that, you know, I may have laughed so hard I had an accident.
Oh, great. So it will induce that sort of behavior.
I mean, it was funny. Right, it was a funny moment, yeah.
All right. Well,
an unexpected moment.
They're both very likable. Kristen Bell is, yeah. Ted Danson's,
yeah, and they're very likable in this. I think it's really just odd. It's just odd enough maybe to catch on. Okay. Or everybody will hate it.
The Good Place, NBC Monday. Designated Survivor, that's Kiefer Sutherland's new show.
Yeah, right? And I really like that. I've only seen the first episode, which is unfortunate because I'd love to see more so that I can give a more informed opinion.
Does he talk like this?
No, he doesn't.
No?
But I think people will like it as long as they understand it is not Jack Bauer as president.
Yeah.
You know, it's Kiefer Sutherland, and actually his character is, I don't know, the assistant director, or no, some kind of director of housing or something like that, or the secretary of housing. And
he's like 50th in line, yes, of succession to,
right,
be president.
But, you know, every time that all the bigwigs in Washington get together, they have one person, the designated survivor. And this is a real thing. They have a designated survivor who goes and hides out, basically, you know, because if something would happen to everybody in one place, then the line of succession continues.
Right.
And so he's chosen to do that. And, you know, the worst thing happens that could happen, and he becomes president. And he's like sort of a milquetoasty guy who's not very, you know, he's not really, you know, a power player, I guess. And so he has, I think the story will be him forcing him to become that.
Right.
But then there's also the intrigue of this terrorist attack. That
sounds happened. Really good.
Yeah, I loved the first episode, and I wanted to see more. Right away.
That's,
you know,
a good sign.
The way it ended, I wanted to see more. So I have high hopes for it.
All right. That is the best sign, isn't it?
Yeah.
When it's over, if you go keep,
yeah,
this going.
Yeah.
And let's do one more, a show that premieres on Thursday, and it's called Easy, and that's kind of all I know about it.
Yeah, I actually just saw the, they filmed that here earlier this year. I just saw the trailer for that, and it's funny because it has so many big names. Well, it has so many comedic actors in it, mm-hmm, that it's almost like, you know, it's like this all-star cast, but I don't think many of them are like
not household names.
Yeah. Like I think Ellie Kemper's in it, but it's eight episodes, and I think each episode's a different story. And Joe Swanberg did it, who films a lot of his stuff in Chicago. He's done a lot of movies and stuff, but it's just sort of that, you know, this is what happens, and it's like different couples, and then each a different love
little
story.
Vignettes.
Yeah, a little vignette thing. And it looks really good from the trailer, which I just watched, but that's about all I know about it.
You can see that show,
but
Easy,
that's on
Netflix
next Thursday.
All right, very, very good. We'll talk more about television, what's coming up, and the Emmy Awards are going to be Sunday with Jimmy Kimmel, so we'll get a little preview of that with Kurt Wagner of TVShowPatrol.com. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. I want to applaud the texter who asked Kurt this question. When will Blansky's Beauties be coming back? Blansky's Beauties was a very obscure sitcom around 1980 with Nancy Walker and Karen Kay. It's never coming back.
It was that late? I didn't even think it was that late.
I just texted him back, you got me.
That's hysterical. You wanted to know.
I thought it sounded familiar, and I was trying to answer some text questions off the air.
Was that a spinoff of Charlie's Angels?
No, it was not.
Oh, God.
No, it was not. It was not. The Emmy Awards are Sunday night. That's the biggest night for people who have been involved in television. It's their Academy Awards, Emmy Awards.
Get your tux, Bill.
Already have one. Don't worry. Jimmy Kimmel is hosting again this year.
On ABC.
He's great. Mm-hmm. Very funny.
He is very great.
Very funny guy. What can we expect from this year's Emmys? Is there a show that is like the hottest show on television
that
everybody goes?
People versus O.J. Simpson.
That's up for several.
And
well, it's up for a bunch
for
of
the
awards.
Emmys, yeah, it's up for a ton
bunch.
Of Emmys. And Game of Thrones, I think, had the most Emmy nominations. Yeah. So I think we can expect a lot of people from those shows.
You know what's funny about the fact that The People versus O.J. Simpson is nominated for so many awards? When it first came on, and Wendy and I were huge fans of the show, but even we were saying, it's so hokey that it's almost great in how hokey it is. But everybody kind of...
See, I didn't think it was as hokey as you guys thought
it was. Travolta, need I say more?
Okay, there were a few. I mean, we did talk about how it seemed like Travolta was in another show.
Yeah.
Like he was, like he thought he was in a comedy and everybody else thought they were in
a serious drama.
Yeah.
Sarah Paulson was amazing.
Yeah. She's nominated for Best Actress. They're in the limited series category. So I believe that she will win hands down.
She was a dead on Marcia Clark. Voice, yeah.
Wasn't
action.
She perfect?
Yeah.
And if she doesn't win, I will be. That'll be the biggest shocker ever, I think.
Look, do you want to go? Can we go through some of the major categories with you really quickly? Okay, for outstanding drama, you have The Americans, Better Call Saul, Downton Abbey, Game of Thrones, Homeland, House of Cards, and Mr. Robot. Boy, that's a lot of good competition in there.
Yes. And I think it'll be Game of Thrones year again. I think they won last year for the first time. But because they had so many nominations, I think this will probably...
It helps them.
You know, it might be like a sort of sweep type thing. I think that helps them. The spoiler, I think, might be Mr. Robot because it got so much press in its first season and was such a new, exciting way of doing TV. You know, it was a lot different.
Can I point something out very quickly? If you look at that list of outstanding dramas on television, The Americans is on FX. Better Call Saul is on AMC. Downton Abbey is on PBS. Game of Thrones is on HBO. Homeland is on Showtime. House of Cards is on Netflix. Mr. Robot is on USA. You don't have a single category from ABC, NBC, CBS, or Fox.
Exactly.
There's not a single contestant from any of those. Isn't that hard to imagine that's how television has changed?
Yeah.
But network TV doesn't take enough risks.
You're right.
That's really the bottom line.
That's a huge part of it.
Yeah, it is. And I think, you know, they have to, they're sort of beholden to ratings and they can't be that niche because of that. And then they can't be too racy because of advertisers.
Right.
Yeah.
So that holds
them
back
a little
bit.
They're hemmed in a little bit, I think.
Just a bit, yeah. All right, lead actress, you have Taraji P. Henson from Empire, Claire Danes from Homeland, Robin Wright from House of Cards, Viola Davis from How to Get Away with Murder, Tatiana Maslany, she's an Orphan Black, and then Kerry Russell from The Americans. Who do you think's year it'll be?
Well, I think, you know, The Americans had a breakthrough this year that they actually even got nominated at all for anything. But I think the fact that they got nominated for Best Show, Best Drama, and that suddenly people are really discovering the show, I feel like it might be Kerry Russell might sneak in there. That's going to be my wild guess. I mean, it would be awesome if Tatiana Maslany won, because I think that she's amazing in that, because she plays so many different characters.
Yeah.
You know, she plays all these clones, and she's very different. Like, you really believe that she's not the same person playing those roles. But I don't know. I think that's still sci-fi stuff. Doesn't usually do that well. It's pretty amazing she even got nominated.
Can I throw in a wild card?
Sure.
Selma Diamond from Night Court.
Will you stop it? Now somebody's going, is Fantasy Island really coming back?
Oh, now everybody's got the jokes coming.
I know. Look what you started.
Oh, but you know, that might be a real
I think
a real
that's
question.
Legit,
a legit
because they've
question.
Talked about that. Because
there's been so many shows, old shows, that have come back. I have not heard Fantasy Island, but I haven't heard everything. So
I'm serious. About
maybe.
3 months ago, I read somewhere.
I mean, Full House is back.
Right.
Fuller House.
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of things that have come back.
Fantasy
so.
Or Island. Let's just do one more quick
Fantastical
category.
Fantastical Island.
Lead actor, you've got Bob Odenkirk from Better Call Saul, Kyle Chandler from Bloodline, Kevin Spacey from House of Cards, Rami Malek from Mr. Robot, Liev Schreiber from Ray Donovan, and Matthew Rhys from The Americans. Again, stiff competition all the way through. Who do you think will get it?
I think Rami Malek will, because Mr. Robot, again.
You go with the, I've noticed on all of these, you go with the ones that is the most obscure. Of all the different,
yeah, which is probably why I never get a poll. Like my poll thing never wins. But I don't know. I just feel like, you know, people have taken notice of that show. It's currently in its second season and still spinning heads.
You know what's amazing to me, and Wendy, you know this. Bob Odenkirk grew up here in the western suburbs. I did stand up with him for several years. Knew him really well. Never in a million years, and I'm so proud of him for achieving what he's achieved. But never in a million years did I think the guy I was doing stand-up with would ever be nominated for Best Lead Actor in a Drama on television. That's how great he has grown over the years.
Yeah, and I think he's... Did he win a supporting actor when he was on...
Better Call Saul, or do you mean
Breaking,
when he was
Breaking
on Breaking
Bad?
Well, it's the same character.
Right. He may have been nominated. Yeah. I don't think he's won.
I mean, what I love about it is that although this is a drama, there's so much funny stuff in there. It's really good. Yeah.
Yep.
You know, and that comes from, I think, that, you know, his background.
Yeah.
I saw him, too, when he was just starting out, the comedy Woman Lions, and it's like, you really wouldn't have thought it. He was great as a stand-up, but really, to be so good in this show, Better Call Saul.
Yeah,
amazing.
He's come a long way.
Will Abe Vigoda be in the Barney Miller remake? See what you've started?
Are you getting texts like that?
Jeez,
come on, you guys.
He's dead. The late, great Abe Vigoda.
I know. Yeah. The Emmy Awards will be on Sunday on ABC. And all the categories are listed there on TVShowPatrol.com, correct?
Yeah.
Everything's there.
Yeah.
I love your website. You do a great job with it.
Thank you. Very, very nice. Kurt, thank you. Have a great weekend. Appreciate it. That's Kurt Wagner.
You too.
TVShowPatrol.com. We'll take a quick break and then more show. News is next. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
It's Bill. It's Wendy. Kim, thank you so much. If the election was held today, who would you vote for? Boy, I don't know.
Some people, Wendy, have expressed the idea that neither candidate is fit.
Who has said that?
I heard that. I read that.
According to a new poll that was put together, Reboot Illinois. It's not Canadian. It's Reboot.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to reboot America. This is Reboot Illinois. We Ask America. It was a poll that they put together. Finds nearly 40% of Illinoisans would just like a new presidential candidate.
40%.
Nearly 40% of Illinois voters wish they had a different candidate to support for president.
I don't remember a time where either party, and now this time around we've seen it with both parties, where both parties have tried to find some sort of an escape clause as an idea of potentially throwing somebody else in. They were talking about it as recently as a few days ago on the Democratic side, if Hillary Clinton truly was too sick to run for president or to serve.
Some would say unfortunately.
Some would say that.
Because, boy, I wish Joe Biden was in there.
I have to be honest with you. I'd be fine with that. I would be more than fine with that. But both parties have said, both on with Trump and originally with Republicans and now Hillary Clinton, that it makes the party look bad if something happens and you're switching candidates, especially this late in the game. I mean, seriously.
All gloves are off in this particular campaign. Nothing would make anything look worse than it's already looked.
But on both sides, you've seen so much just indecision and confusion and everything. So everybody always says that it would be the absolute death knell for either party right now to say we're making a switch. I can't imagine that happening now. It's too late for that now, I think. But yeah, I would be open to the idea of a legitimate other possibility running.
Well, 40%, nearly 40% of Illinois voters.
It is nationally. Do you think it's probably around that number? I bet it is.
I wonder. While Illinois native and Democratic nominee Hillary Clinton remains the clear favorite in her home state, 38% of all those polled said they would prefer to have different candidates in the race that features Clinton Republican nominee and Donald Trump, Libertarian candidate Gary Johnson, and Green Party candidate Jill Stein.
All right. Couldn't you say on the Republican side, anybody who's voted on the Republican side, couldn't you almost say, well, that's your own fault. You had 17 options. Now, on the Democratic side, we started out with just the four, quickly whittled down to two. So the options were a lot fewer on that side.
How many started out?
17 on the Republican side, four on the Democratic side.
17?
Yeah.
Has there ever been that amount before?
No.
Asked if they agree or disagree with the statement, I wish someone else were my party's nominee. 38% agreed, 50% disagreed, and 12% said they were undecided about wanting another nominee, just like they're undecided about who they're going to vote for. Let me look nationally.
I bet it's not far off. And 40% is a huge number. It's a gigantic number. I know people are dissatisfied, but it should never be where 40% of the people are saying, yeah, I don't like either of them. Sorry.
So this is my question, and it's a serious one. If this many people are disappointed, are they just not going to go to the polls? Is this going to be the lowest turnout ever? Because no one wants to vote for either candidate?
That's so unpredictable because people are so adamant in their like or dislike for either candidate that I wonder how many people will be voting strictly against the other candidate. And you've heard that before. Every time there's a presidential election, or actually other elections too, people talk about the phrase, the lesser of two evils. But this time around, it could be more appropriate.
I can't find any information.
Does it list, do they give you any kind of a chart as to who those dissatisfied people would be wanting? That would be the best question of all then.
Well, let's see if listeners can jump in. Who would you rather see on the ballot? I'd love to hear these names. 312-981-7200. Nearly 40% of Illinois voters want someone else, want another choice than the four people that could potentially, well, there are two people that could potentially become president.
You're not counting Green Party. You're not counting any of the other.
Not really. But who? I don't even know what name. I would like Joe Biden to be in there. I wish he would have said yes. I know he lost his son and took some time to deal with that. Who are we talking to? Was it Eric Zorn, the feisty Eric Zorn, who said that he feels that maybe Biden's regretting his decision not to run? I don't think he is.
That's hard to say. I would love for somebody to ask him that right now. Although you can't, if you're him and you answer that honestly, if he is regretting it, then that's almost like taking a shot at Hillary Clinton.
Right.
So I wonder what his answer would be to that at this stage in the game. I don't know.
All right. Well, I think we may be getting reprimanded. I don't know. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, you are getting reprimanded, and so is anybody else who says they don't know who they want to vote for at this point, because we've had every opportunity in the primaries to get somebody else in there, if that's how you feel. How many people, I don't know the facts on this. Unlike Trump, I will admit it. Mm-hmm. I don't know the facts, so that'll tell you who I'm voting for. But anyway, we have had every opportunity to choose somebody in the primaries. I'm sure not that many people voted in the primaries.
I did.
And good for you. I'm glad to hear it. But really, that's part of the problem as far as if you feel you don't have somebody in there that you really want.
Mm-hmm.
I know
we have ourselves to blame, you're saying.
Yes.
Yeah,
I know who I am voting for, and I am going to vote, but I'm... You know,
you can't say because you're on the radio.
No, I can say if I want to, but I don't really want to. I just want to say that this election is the first time I'm not 100% excited about my vote. Is that fair to say?
Every election, people say, oh, I don't like either one of them, because then you're covered. Whoever wins, then you can say, well, I really didn't want them anyway. So, you know, I hear this all the time from
Workers
and quotes.
Co-workers and friends in
Kathy,
quotes.
We've talked about this on the show before. Since I've been able to vote at the age of 18, there's only been one election where I've liked both candidates. That was Barack Obama versus John McCain.
Agreed.
Every other election, it was pretty easy for me to make my choice, but that one was a little difficult, I'll be honest.
But are you honestly not sure who you want to vote for at this point?
I know who I'm voting for.
If you have a brain in your head.
All right, well, that is mean.
Yes, it is.
See, but this is what I hate about talking politics, Kathy, because when people get so mean like that, I want to vote for Trump just to piss you off.
Oh, God. Oh, come on. Don't do that.
Well, don't be so mean to people. Everybody has an option.
Oh, but people on the other side are just as mean to me. That's why I guess I've stooped to the lowest common denominator. I can't even have a conversation anymore with anyone. So
I know that's what it has come to.
How did that happen? Why do you think that happened, Kathy? I don't remember that when I was younger.
I don't either. And, you know, I've been around for a while, but it really is so polarizing at this point. And I think it's because, and I want to be neutral, but I really do think Trump's campaign started with it, with the real bashing. And unfortunately now Hillary has stooped to that level at times, but still not to the point. I mean, can you honestly say that nobody has stooped as low?
No, it's been awful. It really has been.
We'll see if you can figure this out. I'm not voting for Trump. I feel like throwing my vote to Gary Johnson or Jill Stein would be a waste of my vote. So there you have my answer.
Okay. And that's where I'm at as well.
I've got my Clue score sheet and I'm crossing off different candidates, Wendy. I know who you're going to vote for.
Still not really happy, though, with the choices. If Joe Biden was in there, that's the guy I'd go for in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Oh, but why didn't you and a lot of other Democrats speak up at the time?
He didn't want to run. He said he's not running.
Well, if he had had enough people telling him he should run, he would have ran. You know,
I think everybody gave him space, considering the fact that, I mean, his reason for not running was it was personal. It was the loss of his son, Bo. So I think anybody around him who could have convinced him kind of understood the fact that it was too personal for him at this point, you know?
So really now at this point, he shouldn't even, or anyone shouldn't even allude to the fact that he should have run. Then, you know, I mean, it's.
Well, that's the whole point of this thing. 40%, nearly 40% of Illinois voters are dissatisfied and wish it was someone there was another candidate to vote for. That's,
but it's still a cop-out. You have to choose.
And absolutely.
You've got to choose for the person who's going to be the best person for this country.
I absolutely agree with you, Kathy, even though you were mean to me. Thank you for calling.
Sorry I was mean to you. I will apologize.
No, that's all right. But just, you know, that's really what this has turned into. I don't care whose side wins. I care who's best for the country. That's who I want to win.
Well, so do I. But I sometimes can't believe how, and here I go again.
Yeah, because there are people who can't believe how you think, too. So there you have it.
I know.
Should we cross out the word United and United States? Should we just put a line through the word United? Because it's not United anymore.
States of America?
Just states. Just
I like it.
We live in states, not United States anymore.
Kathy, good luck in November.
Okay.
Thanks,
Kathy. It's going to be okay.
Thank you, Kathy.
Well, I'll get through this.
But that's no one can have a conversation anymore. It always turns to that. And that's what's upsetting me.
It's become a little difficult, too. Yeah. Yeah, it has. All right. Your thoughts on this, if you're on hold, stay there. We'll get to you in just a minute. We're trying to figure out, with 40% of people in Illinois saying they're not happy with either candidate, who should the candidate be? Give us a call or a text back after this. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
We're in a big mess.
Yeah, it turns out that many, many people are not happy with either choice, the Republican side or the Democratic side. Donald Trump doesn't do it for him. Hillary Clinton doesn't do it for him. So what do we do now? We're trying to figure out who the candidate should be. Is there anybody that would get you excited if it's not the two that are already running?
Nancy wants to jump in. Hi, Nance.
How are you? I feel like I should break into the national anthem. Because he was saying, are we going to cross off the United?
Yeah.
I wish Paul Ryan. You're laughing. I wish Paul Ryan was running.
Because
and I
why?
Think that, well, because first I know him personally, and he is the real deal. I mean, he's as genuine as he is kind. I mean, everything about him is really, really top notch. And it's unfortunate that he didn't want to, but I know why he didn't want to. So you know.
Does it bother you at all about the way he wavered on his either support or lack of support to Donald Trump? Because he kind of talked himself into some circles there.
Yeah, it did bother me a little bit, but I really think he was in a conundrum. I mean, my personal feeling is that though Donald Trump did start out slinging quite a bit of crap at people, I think he's going to surround himself with really smart people.
He keeps saying that.
Yeah, I do. I think he is, because he's clearly a smart businessman. And quite honestly, I know I'm gonna get a bunch of flack from this, but I think he said what a lot of us were thinking.
In regards to what?
Just the difference, like the Democratic convention is rigged. Everything that
he said the voting process was rigged, not just the Democratic convention, but the whole voting process.
The whole
Al Gore would agree with him.
He should agree with him. Yeah, he should.
Probably. We know where he is.
Yeah.
I really think Paul Ryan should have run. I imagine he'll run the next time. And so he's just taking notes this session, you know. But I really wish that he had anteed up. But
well, thank you for sharing that, Nancy. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Nancy.
Have a
good weekend.
I bet a lot of people are in that same Paul Ryan camp, I would imagine. On the Republican side, anyway.
Yeah. Becky, you're our last call. Your thoughts?
My thoughts are, someone was saying that somebody should know who they're going to vote for, like, by now. I legitimately don't know who to vote for. And it's kind of scary, to be honest with you. I want someone who's at least been embroiled in the process, at least has served, at least, or do I want someone who hasn't, but maybe that's good that he's not all embroiled in the process his whole life. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do know what you mean.
Don't know who to vote for.
What will make you decide, do you think? What will have to happen between now and November that'll make you decide?
Probably doing, honestly, a little more research. I don't tend to vote parties. I'm
good.
Sure I should, but at this age, I tend to vote the person. And if I could just throw one other comment in.
Yeah, sure.
I just hate how vitriolic this has gotten. I just hate, like, whoever is president, that there seems to be a lack of respect for your president, whoever it is.
Yeah.
You know, we go after their wives. We go after their children. We go after, you know, and it's like, and they'll just, you know, throw out. And I'm just, only because he is the current president. Oh, Obama this, Obama that. It was always President Kennedy, President
sure.
Eisenhower, President everybody. But I don't know. I don't. I'm probably not great at politics, but I am deeply patriotic. And this whole thing, this whole campaign just really makes me nauseous.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie.
I get it.
We're dropping the United. It's just we're states
just
of
states.
America. Or someone said, how about North American?
North American states or states of North America, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. All right. Well, good
Becky,
luck,
thanks.
Becky. I wish I could come up with a name for you.
No,
but
it's all right.
At this point, I think we've got a hand we've been dealt, and do your research and vote your heart as best you can.
Yeah.
Great right. advice. Thank you very much. Someone wants Bill Nye, the science guy, because we need more scientists in charge.
He's a very bright man. I don't know if he'd be a good president.
I know.
You know, I thought early on that Elizabeth Warren was a name that would be very prominent toward the end, and she chose not to run. That was a little bit of a surprise to me. Cuomo's a very bright guy. I think there's a couple of names that come up every once in a while, and you go, yeah, that's a possibility. I don't know. Let's see what happens. But I, in my heart, Joe Biden seemed to be the one that if he had wanted this, and I know he went through a lot of personal anguish with his son, but I think if he had made a serious run for it, I think that would have been a guy that probably could have taken it a lot easier than the two candidates that are currently in.
And would have our country in his sights as making it the best he could be.
I think so. I do think so.
And his moving day would be so easy.
Right. Wouldn't it, Kevin?
Good point.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll find out what Steve Bertrand has on the Wintrust Business Lunch. That's next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. I don't know what song this is, but I like it.
Who is this,
Kevin? Who is this?
This is the Arctic Monkeys.
I like the Arctic Monkeys.
Me too. We're so grandpa and grandma.
I don't think my grandparents would have enjoyed the music of the Arctic Monkeys. They had Glenn Miller. They didn't need this.
I am upset I'm not going to Riot Fest now.
How come? Because of the Arctic Monkeys or music like it?
Are they
on
the
list? Are they going to be
there?
No, I don't think they are.
I think they were here, though, this summer. Either Lollapalooza
or
some. Yeah, I remember saying, the Arctic Monkeys.
Is that song representative of the kind of music they play, Kim?
I have no clue. I just remember seeing the
just
Arctic
the name.
Monkeys, and the name was like, I've never heard of
them. It sounds like they'd be fun, doesn't
it,
based on the name?
Yeah.
You just like monkeys.
I do
we
enjoy
like
monkeys.
Around, right?
And if they're cold and wearing a parka and a little knit hat, I'd pay money for that.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
Thanks, Kevin.
I really am upset I'm not going to Riot Fest.
Oh, don't be sad.
Come on,
you'll be fine.
No.
Who's playing?
The Specials. I love them. A ska group from a million years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
They're there. Who else? Do you know who else?
Julian Marley's there.
Yes.
Bob Marley's.
One of his many sons. Marley's coming to the Park West October 2nd. I think I have to go see that show. And I don't smoke weed.
Anymore.
Okay, whatever. I still don't.
All right.
You know, there's such thing as a broadcast code. You know,
I
don't throw you under the bus.
No.
Speaking of which, throwing someone under the bus, and I'm not.
Yeah.
Kevin and I were discussing a gift that you're supposed to give your parents for your wedding. Have you heard of such a thing?
I've never heard of it. I give Kevin credit because he's following through. He's looking for a gift for his mom and dad.
He has a couple of great ideas. But when you were talking to me about it, Kevin, I said, I don't think I got my mom anything, and I don't think Jim got his parents anything. When has it turned customary to get the bride and groom's parents a gift from the bride and groom?
I don't know when it started, but the more I talk to people about it, the more I realize that it's maybe not necessarily a common thing. But I don't know. I've gotten mixed reviews.
Nice gesture, Kevin. I would
do
it.
What do you get them?
That's the problem.
What would you have gotten your parents?
Well, I told you, I got them something. I don't know if this counts as a gift. Terry and I honeymooned in England, and it's a long flight to England and a long flight back. And I decided I was going to send them, I wrote them a letter that had 100 of my happiest memories about them.
Oh, my God.
And it took me the whole flight to England and the whole flight back. And I really was very proud of the letter. It was about 70 pages of my 100 best memories. You know, a lot of them were either vacation related or holiday related.
Oh, that is so sweet.
I thought so. But then, like 3 weeks after I gave them the letter, I said, don't read this in front of me. Just when you guys have some time, read it. So like 3 weeks later, we went out to dinner with them. And I said, did you guys finish the letter? And they both just smiled politely and they said that they did. And I said, what did you think? And they just kept looking at each other like they didn't want to answer the question. And I said, you can tell me. And my mom said, we read it and it was a very nice gesture. But between the two of us, we could only remember about 25 or 30 out of 100. And that was sad because those were like some of my all-time happiest memories. And they're like, I don't think we ever went there. And I go, no, we went there. Remember, I reminded them. And they said, well, this one about Christmas, I don't think this happened. And I go, no, it did happen. And that made me really sad that moments in my life that were so important to me, they're like, I don't know, did we ever go to Pennsylvania? Yeah, we went to Pennsylvania. You don't remember that?
Well, different people have, they shouldn't have said that. They should have just said, I'm glad those moments meant so much to you.
That would have been the more tactful way. Because I'm like, for a month, I'm like, what other moments in my life that I consider to be like really important moments? Like, no. Can't quite place that one. And I know, believe me, because we're all advancing in age, I know that as you get older, things kind of get a little foggier. I get that. But there were some like really major moments in there. They're like, no, we had to look it up in a scrapbook to see if we even went to Canada.
You were thinking of the neighbors, weren't you, Billy?
It was very weird.
I'm saying that too. Although it's very hard to read your writing. Maybe
that's what it was.
Maybe they saw, you know, right. Ethiopia right. when it really said, I don't know.
Right. Who are Mag and Pam? That's his mom and dad. That's who I said, his mom and dad.
Well, I never heard about these giving the parents
that's new.
A gift. That's so sweet of you, though, Bill. Carol, have you heard of this?
I actually got a wedding gift from my daughter and my son-in-law. My husband and I each got a gift, and my gift was a little unusual. I got.
Can you tell us?
Can you say it on the air?
I can. I got a double shower head. But we had actually been on a trip together, and this hotel we were staying at was really a nice hotel, and it had a double shower head. And I just always talked about that double shower head, so that's what my daughter gave me.
That's a great gift.
My husband got an engraved flask, with his name on it.
Yeah.
He loved his dad. But, you know, I think, but I got a double shower head. I loved my gift.
Well, I can't think of a better. Can you think of a better gift? That's
for,
perfect.
Not for Kathy,
for
but
a woman
for,
who loves
I
a nice double shower head. That's ideal.
I already have one.
You don't need that. But wow, thoughtful.
That is. I just have never heard of this practice. And Kevin has some great ideas, let me say that.
We can't say them in case his mom and dad are listening.
And he doesn't really have any.
No, I know.
Hi, Beatrice.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. Absolutely. Did you get a gift?
Yes, my daughter just sent me a beautiful set of a beautiful arrangement of flowers.
Oh, that is nice.
Gorgeous vase and an absolutely sweet thank you note.
A sweet thank you note and a beautiful bouquet of flowers, a floral arrangement.
That's so nice.
Yes.
That's ideal. Yes, and that's not real expensive, and it gets the message across. I like that.
It didn't last. But
no.
You know, I will never forget it.
Right. That's so true.
Hope you got pictures of it, Beatrice.
Unfortunately, those days, it was quite a while ago, so
they didn't have photography.
Yeah, I still remember. Yeah.
Yeah. But, all right,
Well, thank you so much for sharing that. Our own Mary Vandeveld, actually, you know, she's more on Steve Cochran's show than ours. But, Mary, you know about this gift for the parents? I've never heard of this.
Yeah, actually, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, actually, you know, two of my kids got married in the last, like, 3.5 years, and they both gave me the same gift, and it was a silver frame, picture frame, that said, you know, something along the lines of, thank you for all you've done for us. We love you. With their names. And then when their pictures came in from the photographer, I just blew one up and put it in there. And I treasure both of them. They're both on my dresser. And it's like the perfect gift, you know, I think.
All right. So that's what you got. What did your husband get?
For both of you. One gift. And it probably wasn't super expensive. I didn't want them to spend a lot of money on gifts for us. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous when you think about it. But that one, I was going to get a picture of them anyway. So it kind of worked out perfect.
All right. Well, that's a good idea.
Yeah. All right.
I think it's a great idea.
So, Kevin, get your parents a picture frame and a picture of Mary's kids.
Oh, they'll love that. All right. They'll love that.
You're not sleeping yet in your car, Mary?
I'm almost to my driveway.
All right. Well, have a good nap.
I'm so excited. There's no sun out, so I won't be hot in my car.
Have a great weekend.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
I always think they're kidding about that, but they're not kidding. She goes home and naps in the driveway.
Because it's quiet and it's so ridiculous, but she does.
It works.
All right. Beth has a parent gift idea.
Oh, hi. I just got married this May. And
congratulations.
And best wishes.
Thank you.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you.
I don't know what that means.
That's what her husband said.
Yeah, right. What we decided to do, we did the gift as well, because a lot of couples we know in our age group were all getting married. And we decided for my dad, because my mother has passed on, we got him a crystal decanter, you know, for the bar.
Yeah.
And it was engraved with like a really nice thank you for welcoming to the family, blah, blah, blah. And it was all like rhymed and we had that engraved. And I got, that was from my husband.
Yeah.
And I got him a picture frame. I found it on Etsy and it says the best walk I'll ever take with you. And you take one of your wedding photos of you and your father walking up the aisle.
That's
and
beautiful.
You put it in that. And then for his parents, we got a really big frame. It was from both of us. There's a mat for a place for two photos. You put their wedding picture in one, and then after you're married, then you can give them your favorite picture of the two of you, and it's got like a little saying on it. So I thought that would be a nice idea.
It is a great idea. Kevin, you're in?
Are you writing notes?
Yeah, but I don't know. Now I have to like discreetly get the wedding photo of them, and it's going to be tough.
You can do that. That's not hard.
Ask your sister.
She probably does have it. That's a good idea.
I know, see?
And then the people that have been saying, like, the decanter or, like, the flask.
Yeah.
For my dad, that wouldn't work. All he drinks, the only alcohol he drinks is Bud Light.
Oh.
So.
Get him a six-pack.
Or a Bud Man figurine.
Right.
To put on his dresser.
Spuds McKenzie.
Yeah, all right.
You would love that.
Beth, thank you, and congratulations on the recent wedding.
Oh, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Listen to this. Somebody has just texted us, and she got this from her daughter-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little handkerchief, and embroidered on it, it says, Cindy, thank you for raising your son to be the man of my dreams. Love, Nikki.
And it's on a handkerchief?
Mm-hmm. Look at it. It's all...
thank you for raising a kid that didn't end up being a snot. That's what I'd put on there.
God.
I have a hole burned through my head. You stared a hole through my head.
Hi, John.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Nothing. John, we're trying to figure out, Kevin's getting married and he needs a gift for his mom and dad. What do you recommend?
All right, I don't recommend it. I just told your producer, that's Kevin, right?
Yeah.
That after I got married, my mother-in-law came up to me and she was very emotional and she goes, I just want to thank you so much for giving me one of the greatest gifts ever. And I was like, I'm fine. What are you talking about? She goes, for taking my daughter off my hands. She goes, thank you so much. Well, here's what happened. We dated 2 years in high school. We dated another time in 87. And then finally in 91, we got married. We've been married ever since.
Nice.
We're high school sweethearts. But basically, my wife is just a wild, wild chick. She's like the Wendy of the radio there that you're hanging out with.
Oh, my God. My husband should get together with you and you guys can commiserate.
And to this day, she tells me, like we're going on vacation in a week to Charlevoix, Michigan. And she didn't want to, like, my wife just wants my mother-in-law to go. So finally, she goes, I don't really want to go with you guys. That's like a couple's trip. I said, Ma, please, you can't send me alone with her. Please. I did you a favor all these years. You got to go with her. So I'm not alone with her.
That's so funny.
John, if I can give you some advice that my husband recently said to me, I think it was last weekend, he said, Wendy, you drive me crazy, but I cannot imagine my life without you. So go ahead and use that honor.
you know what? Hey, I tell my wife that all the time. You guys, you wild women are the best women ever.
Thank you, John, for putting up with us. I'm not that wild
That's
anymore.
That's a ringing endorsement.
I just swear a lot.
There's that. Let's do this. We've got more ideas for Kevin, who is in search of a wedding gift for his mom and dad.
No, he already has ideas.
He has ideas.
He just hasn't pulled the trigger yet.
Right.
Don't make it sound like that.
He doesn't have any ideas.
Shush.
He doesn't. We'll take a break and then more of your thoughts at 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And we were talking about a parental gift for your parental units. I tell them we come from Remulac. Mm-hmm. Ah, the Coneheads. Mm-hmm. I never really heard of this, a gift you give your parents at the wedding, after the
Kevin
wedding?
Kevin had never heard of it either, but his parents told him about it. Said it's a big, big traditional thing now.
It does. Like my friend Mike made a good point. It does seem a little strange because the parents do help with the wedding.
They
That you take the money that they're giving you to buy them a gift.
Right.
It's a little bizarre. But, you know, it's
Well, then
tradition.
They should give you more money so they get a better gift.
Throw that at him, Kevin.
I don't like that.
No? All right.
All right, Cody, you have an idea?
Yeah, my daughter got married 2 years ago Wednesday. It's a two-year anniversary. And she called me and my wife back to the dressing room right before the ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
And she handed me this little gift. And I opened it up, and it was a keychain that was a dog tag with a heart cut out of it. And it said, "Daddy, you'll always be the first man I ever loved."
Oh, did you burst into tears?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I have no idea what she got my wife because I completely lost it.
Sure. I get that. Oh, wow.
It was fantastic. Yeah. So it was a very cool moment.
That is pretty sweet.
That's beautiful. Yeah.
Bill's getting weepy.
I'm getting all weepy now. Well,
I'm driving and I'm getting all weepy.
All right.
Well, thanks for the idea. Drive safely. Put the windshield wipers on.
That's right.
See you later.
They're on the outside of the car. You know that.
I know. Right. All right. I have a great idea.
What is it?
You said your dad likes to drink Bud Light.
Yep.
They make these. It looks like a red Solo cup, but they're reusable.
Oh, yeah.
You could get his name on it.
Sure. I like that. But the thing is...
Right,
or were you going to spend more than $8?
Or just the barware that says, you know, whatever.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
The barware is good, but he's so particular because he only likes it in the can or the aluminum bottle. He doesn't like it in a bottle or draft.
Wait, will you write this down? This is 126.
Go ahead. What is he saying now?
Kevin, we got to send this to Nick DiGilio. Kevin, will you do it for yourself talking about your father? He only likes it in the can.
No.
You've just opened up a whole new plethora of ideas we can get him.
I'm handing him my badge. I'm handing him my badge. Kevin, there's a brewery place in Woodfield Mall, Brewer Mania, I think it's called, and they've got, like, whatever your favorite beer is, they've got glasses with the insignia, they've got neon signs, they've got everything.
Oh, yeah, get him a neon sign. You make fun of my cup.
That says Bud Light.
He would like the neon sign. I'm not sure my mother would.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
Then get her the frame.
A neon frame.
Get her a neon frame.
126.
Nothing says class like neon, Kevin.
That's true.
All right.
Friday, what is today's date? 9/16. I just want a listener to send it in because Kevin won't send it in for himself.
I don't think he can. It's like Wikipedia.
It might be on Straight Out of Context tonight with Nick DiGilio. Kevin's dad.
That's his business. All right. Come on.
What? It was perfect. See, that's what Out of Context is.
I guess. All right,
you know, this was a really beautiful segment until that point.
Until
Wendy.
Then.
I didn't ruin it.
Right,
you
Kevin?
Ruined it yourself.
Until then. All right. We'll take a quick
break.
We'll take a quick break. Steve has the news, and then more show, Bill and Wendy, WGN. The spirit of 76, even,
wow.
He will say soon.
I don't think it's been 40 years since I've heard that or even thought
of that. The Funky Phantom, which is the biggest ripoff in the world of Scooby-Doo, although it was the same producers. It was Hanna-Barbera who ripped off their own project.
It's like a Dick Wolf project, you know.
Yes.
Chicago Fire, Chicago Hope.
Did you ever watch The Funky Phantom?
Yeah, but not as much as Scooby-Doo.
Well, Scooby-Doo is the first and best, and then they had several...
versions of it. Like Goober and the Ghost Chasers was no good, nowhere near as good as Scooby-Doo. Let's be honest.
I was more into the Wacky Races.
Loved Wacky Races.
And Fractured Fairy Tales.
Also good. Very good.
I didn't really watch
Who was the announcer on Fractured Fairy Tales?
I don't remember.
Hans Conried.
Who's that?
The announcer on Fractured Fairy Tales.
Underdog, I watched
Underdog
all the time.
Underdog was great. Voiced by?
Wally Cox.
Wally Cox. Nicely done.
Thank
His girlfriend was?
Polly Purebred.
Sweet Polly Purebred. And the best villains were?
I don't know.
Simon Bar-Sinister.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because he made you laugh.
And Cad.
I don't remember Cad. And also Penelope Pitstop and Dudley Do-Right. Those are the ones I watched the most.
Here's the reason I asked Kevin to play the theme from Funky Phantom. Not that he wouldn't have anyway. I'm sure he was thinking about it. It was this time of year when we were kids. It was always the middle of September that on a Friday night, the networks, all three networks, would on a Friday night devote a show. They would put together a show where they would show kids a preview of what the Saturday morning lineups would be. And my friends treated it as though it were the Super Bowl or the Academy Awards. We waited for that day for weeks, and then on that Friday, we would all come home from school, and we would prepare, and we would it was almost always at my house. It was at one of my friend's house 1 year, but usually it was at my house.
It's like the cartoon draft or something.
It was exactly like that. And we would all have little, we would have pens and paper, and we would write down our votes for what would be the show that we would watch in every half-hour block on the different networks. We'd go, well, you know, ABC's got the Saturday Superstar movie, which looks really good. But Devlin is on. That was the cartoon race car driver on another channel.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. There was also a show called Hot Wheels that was
Devlin. Oh, I remember that, yeah.
So,
based on the Hot Wheels?
Yeah. Okay. It was two guys and a girl, and they rode in Hot Wheels cars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had my own box of Hot Wheels and Matchbox.
I knew you did. You said that before. I'm proud of you for that. It shouldn't just be a boy's toy. That should be a boy's or a girl's toy. But that night, like, really was one of the most coveted, sought after. We couldn't wait. We couldn't wait until that night where we would watch the previews. And they would always get somebody, you know, from like one of the family shows, like maybe the kids from the Brady Bunch would do it.
Really? I don't remember this at all.
You don't remember it?
Steve, do you remember this? No, he doesn't either.
It was, I don't know.
Scooby-Doo got him.
Like Steve has been stolen. It was a magical night. It ended way too soon. We wanted, like, when it was over. And then the Saturday mornings would happen the next day, and it was fine, but it was that preview night that we all just couldn't wait for.
That's so cute. You're like the kids of Stranger Things, just sitting around, getting together, and figuring out your schedule for cartoon watching.
Right.
How old do you say, roughly?
26, 27.
Hi, Kevin. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you guys?
Do you remember this that Bill was speaking of?
Bill, you were I know you can't say the word, but
I'll say
wrong.
It. He was wrong.
Was I wrong about which?
Fractured Fairy Tales narrator was Edward Everett Horton.
It wasn't Hans Conried.
It was part of the Bullwinkle show.
Right.
Hans Conried did a show called Fractured Flicker.
Oh, that's what I was. You're right. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
Why not?
Which was
Jay Ward, Bill Scott.
It was like a
old film clip.
Right. So it was inspired by Fractured Fairy Tales, but it was Fractured Flickers.
Yeah, I don't know about it, how inspired it was, but it was made by the same guys.
Okay.
Jay Ward and Bill Scott, but it was like a half hour show where they would just mangle old black and white movies with different voices.
You're right. Edward Horton, right?
Can't even say it.
It's too hard for me.
He was the guy that did the Fractured Fairy Tales, but that was on the Bullwinkle show.
Okay, that all makes sense.
Well, Kevin, I know it was tough for you to call to prove Bill wrong, and I have to be honest with you, Bill, you are very rarely wrong.
I usually hit it. It's the word fractured was in both, and it starts with I. No excuses. I should have known that.
Well, you know what? We'll set you up. You're a good listener. So you want a Lou Malnati's gift certificate? We'll set you up with Lou Malnati's.
Certainly.
And Kevin, really quick, since we have you on the line, do you remember that preview night that I'm talking about in mid-September?
Bill, I was on hold, and I missed that part of the segment.
I was saying how they would do on a Friday night, each of the networks would have like an hour show where it showed you little clips of their Saturday morning lineup so that the kids could decide which shows they'd want to watch on a Saturday. Do you remember that at all?
Not really. No.
All right. Maybe I dreamt
Sorry.
It.
Sorry.
Maybe you wished it to happen.
I know. That could be it.
All right. Well, Kevin.
Hold on, Kevin.
Enjoy your Lou Malnati's gift certificate. Lou Malnati's is home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnati's.com. I felt the need to give him something because,
sure.
honestly, you're never wrong.
I'm rarely wrong on these, but he is correct. I got my narrators mixed up a little bit.
I could see where the fractured would send you off.
Still no excuse. We would also decide, you know, because there was a time on Saturday mornings where almost everything was animated, and then they started switching to the more like Lidsville or
HR Puff and Stuff
or Sigmund and the Sea Monsters, where it was more live action but puppety.
Yeah.
So there was some backlash amongst us. We wanted more animation, but then we would start watching those shows, all the ones we mentioned. And I can't speak for you, but after a while,
them.
I liked those more.
You liked them more?
Yeah, sometimes. Not always, but sometimes. Because the animation got, especially like towards the end in the 70s and into the 80s, the animation got really, really cheap. You know, they would cycle things. You know how on the Flintstones, if the Flintstones are driving down a street, you see the same tree and then the same mountain range. So all the cartoons, or most of them, started using that same kind of cheaper effect.
Yeah, I guess.
The animation was... Like, look at a vintage Popeye cartoon from the 40s and see how much animation there
Everything's
is.
Everything's moving.
It's amazing. But then watch a Popeye cartoon from the 60s and nothing's moving.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, it's... I know you don't like the expression, but it's apples to oranges. I like animated... Yeah. I liked H.R. Puffin stuff a lot.
Oh, yeah. He's your friend when things get rough. You can't do a little because you can't do enough.
Thanks for sharing.
My friends are all coming over tonight in hopes that they show that on one of the networks.
What years did they do that, and when do you remember them stopping?
It would have been early 70s. It would have been like 71 through 4 or 5 or 6. And I don't remember, like now, I know that, I don't know if you even know this, but the Saturday morning schedules of cartoons on ABC, CBS, and NBC, that doesn't exist anymore.
They don't even have cartoons?
They'll show one every once in a while, but it's not like a full lineup because... Years ago, they realized if a kid wants to see cartoons, he'll turn on the Cartoon Network, or everybody's got DVDs of cartoons. So it's not, they don't put any effort at all into their Saturday morning lineups. And then the Sunday morning cartoons were just sad.
Well,
it was the cartoons that weren't good enough to get on the Saturday morning ones.
That's when I watched The Magic Door.
Yeah, that's what people should have done.
And never knew it was a Jewish-related show.
How about that? It was subliminal.
Now... Saturday morning cartoons from the 70s, sneak peek with Jack Burns and Avery Schreiber.
That's one of them, yeah. Jack Burns and Avery Schreiber were one of the hosts.
Can we take a break and listen to a little
bit? Yeah.
Let's do that.
You know who they are, right, Burns and
Schreiber?
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah, all right. So we'll do a little bit of looking back. If you want to jump in, we're at 312-981-7200. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
I might have found something you want to listen to.
I'd love to hear it. What is
it? It's from 1985. You weren't still watching these previews.
By 85, I was already out of the game. I was in it all through the 70s.
Did you notice girls by then?
Yeah.
God.
I'd say that was my opening line with a girl back then. Want to come to my house and watch Land of the Lost? Record wasn't great with that.
They had kids like Punky Brewster.
Salil
and
Moonfry.
Yes, and Keisha Knight Pulliam.
Oh, from the Cosby Show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're all getting ready for these previews.
What do we do now?
Yeah, even Carl Lewis could jump that far.
There's a big gap.
Help, we need somebody.
Yeah, that would have been the 80s if they're referencing Carl
Sounds
Lewis.
Like someone needs the help of NBC's favorite Saturday morning superhero, Spider-Man. It's a sticky job, but somebody has to do it, or NBC's new shows will never be seen on Saturday morning.
This is exactly what
That's
I'm talking
about.
It's that, yeah, it's all promotional stuff for their Saturday morning
I guess
lineup.
I do kind of remember that. I remember the Brady Kids, I guess.
Yeah.
With
Mop Top and Ping and Pong the Pandas?
I don't know what you're talking about.
All right. Kathy, those were their pets, their cartoon pets.
Kathy, what's going on?
Hey, Billy, it's good to hear your voice.
Thank you. How come?
Well, because it's always good to hear your voice.
Oh, thank you.
You're always my favorite little kid.
Oh, Kathy's your babysitter.
Oh, all right. Now it makes sense.
there. Okay. Anyway, I'm going to take your listeners back to the 60s. Sure. Do you remember Soupy Sales?
Sure, of course.
I, for some reason, I went online and on YouTube last week and punched in Soupy Sales, you know, a video.
Yeah.
And they have a number of his shows and segments on YouTube. For some reason, I cannot figure out why he was so funny and his little bits were so funny. 50 years later, I'm watching him.
A lot of pies in the face, remember?
He got pies in the face, but there was a lot of grunting and a lot of innuendos and a lot of looks into the camera that just broke up the audience. And I remember laughing my face off when I was in my teens, sitting there with my father, who was in his 50s at the time, laughing just as hard. But what made him so funny, even today, if you go on online and, or go on YouTube and look, you'll laugh your face off.
He was so energetic, Soupy Sales.
He was really funny.
And I don't know if people remember this, but on his show, there was a door. And a lot of times during his show, he would open the door, and then he didn't know what was coming out. They would surprise him. So then on one episode, they decided, because you couldn't see it watching on TV, you would just see Soupy Sales. It was angled so that you'd see him opening the door and then his reaction. So they put behind the door, the opening, you couldn't see it, as Soupy could, a naked lady, a 100% totally naked lady. And Soupy reacted, you know, very big to that. He was very excited to see a naked lady. And I've seen clips of that. It's one of the funniest things ever.
He's pretty funny.
Yeah, he's hilarious. And, of course, White Fang and Black Tooth were They were just furry arms. And I watched a behind-the-scenes of Soupy Sales, you know, making. And that guy who played White Fang was huge. He was enormous.
Oh, really?
That arm, and he would, you know, how Soupy would look up at White Fang and all the grunting, the
Right.
He was reacting to this giant of a man with a white glove on. I mean, it was hilarious.
Yeah, he was very funny.
Sounds like you were a perfect babysitter for Bill.
Yeah, we would just watch Soupy Sales all the time. Kathy, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And Soupy, sadly, no longer with us as of a few short years ago.
Oh, I thought he died a while ago.
Yeah.
Trish, you remember the Saturday morning preview, or actually it was Friday night, right, into Saturday morning?
Yeah, there was a time when the Jackson 5 hosted.
Oh, yeah.
Because they had a cartoon on Saturday mornings that would follow the Osmond brothers.
Right.
And I remember we would watch it all, like every year we would watch it religiously because we wanted to know what shows we had to watch.
Sure. Yeah.
Saturdays.
And Trish, I'm not exaggerating, right? It was one of the biggest nights of the year if you were a kid. If you were a cartoon-watching kid, that was the Oscars or the Super Bowl, right?
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Totally. And then it was followed up by the Brady Bunch.
Right.
So it was like pre-prime time? It was like at 6:30 or something?
No, it would go from like 7 to 8.
It was on at 7. Yeah. It was on at 7, and then the Brady Bunch would come on afterwards. Like they would reschedule the Brady Bunch.
Oh.
Yep.
So that she could watch, and then Love American Style was on after that.
That was awesome.
Yep.
The bed being rolled down the street.
Right.
Do you remember a show called The Ghoulies?
Yeah, Groovy Ghoulies.
Groovy Ghoulies?
Yes.
They were groovy.
They were awesome.
Trish, you know what I'm going to do? I have, I'm an action figure collector, and I have the entire set of Groovy Ghouli figures from the 70s. I'll post a picture of them. On Monday. I don't know how to do it on my own, but I'll bring them in on Monday and post a picture.
That's awesome.
All right.
Think the closest thing to, like, my kids' generation, to the Groovy Ghoulies, was Real Monsters on Nickelodeon.
Very inspired by the Groovy Ghoulies.
Groovy Ghoulies were
totally.
Way cooler, though.
It was fun, wasn't it?
It was Creepella, and I can't remember the other guy's name, but the woman was Creepella.
Yeah. Yeah, it was funny.
Thank you, Trish.
Thank you, Trish.
You're welcome. Love your show.
Ratso, Fatso, and Batso were the kids. Did she leave or get disgusted? Probably disgusted.
No, she was about as excited as you were.
Ratso, Fatso, and Batso.
I remember the Groovy Ghoulies. Didn't one of them play a keyboard or something?
Yeah,
they were rock and roll or Groovy Ghoulies.
Like every cartoon at the time, in addition to having wacky hijinks and riding around in a car and solving crimes, they all were in a band. Every single cartoon, They were in a band like the Archies. Remember, they would, they, and it was the same movements on the organ and the drums and stuff.
It was always Veronica pointing the toe
on the pedal.
Yeah, on the pedal under the keyboard, and there really was no pedal there. It's just she was doing it.
But think about it, Wendy. Realistically, if you and a bunch of monsters lived in a house together, at some point one of you would say, "You know, we should
some music.
A band together."
Can't get a good
realistic
radio reception. Let's start our own band.
Sure,
Glenn, you get the last call on this one.
Well, Wendy, I just wanted to say I was behind Bill 100% because I remember that night of watching that television. And I was a chubby little kid back then, and I remember that was the most exercise I would get, would be getting up and down, changing the channel annually, one time at ABC, CBS, NBC.
Sure.
Just because, you know, there was no such thing as the clicker back then.
Absolutely. You had to get up. You were the channel changer, the youngest of the family, usually.
How about the only child of the family?
There you go.
I had all the channels. Bill, I had one question for you to test your memory.
Yeah.
There was a show in the Chicagoland area where there was the guy was a statue maker at the Blob. He would always come up and they'd hold the big thing of clay into different characters.
Yeah, that's BJ and Dirty Dragon or Cartoon Town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bill Jackson.
Yeah, that was him. I couldn't remember his name, but it just popped into my head while I was waiting for you guys.
Yeah, that was one of the greatest. If you grew up here, that and Ray Rayner were the two you couldn't miss. They were just the best.
Well, I had the honor and the privilege of not just watching Ray Rayner, but meeting him, and I was even on Rapper Robo.
That's awesome.
That is awesome. Wow, good for you. That's excellent. Well, thank you, Glenn.
Sure enough. I brought back some good memories.
Thanks so much.
Sure.
Thank you. Have a good weekend. All right, so Bill Jackson would take your initials, and, you know, I would always practice, so WS, and I would make, like, it looked like Polly Purebred. I loved that show. I watched it all the time. I got a big thing of clay. Most kids want that cheap potter's wheel for Christmas one year, and it never goes fast enough for you to actually make a pottery piece on it. So I would take all the clay from it and just put it together and make cardboard eyes and mouth.
Oh, that's perfect.
And I would do my own, the Blob.
Right, the Blob. Wasn't his thing, he would ask, you would send in your initials and also the profession that you wanted to be when you were a kid, and then he would quickly sketch what you would look like when you were an investment banker based on your initials.
Trust me, a lot of kids did send in investment bankers. Yeah, a lot of them. Job of choice at 5 and 6. How old were we? Because that, to me, I remember way more
that
than Ray Rayner.
That was mid to late 60s.
And when was Ray Rayner?
Ray Rayner was all throughout that. That would have been almost our entire childhood.
See, I think what it was, I think I had more of a crush on Bill Jackson because he was adorable.
And he had a derby.
He did in either red or blue.
Right.
So maybe.
You can't say no. To this day, you can't say no to a man in a derby.
You know me too
well. I hope John Steed is listening from the Avengers. All right, we'll take a quick break. Yeah, we'll take a quick break. Steve has the news. More show coming your way in just a little bit. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN. Thanks, Steve. Hi, everybody. Bill F. and Wendy Snyder with you on WGN. And we invite you to call or text in at 312-981-7200. Do you lie with any regularity to your husband?
I honestly never lie at all.
Not at all? Zero?
I should sometimes.
What's the situation where you think you should lie, but you have not?
Telling him how much something cost.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really sugarcoat anything. Mm-hmm. You know me.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people wish I would.
Wouldn't you imagine that the lie that happens most often between a couple would be money related? Wouldn't you think maybe you spend a little too much money on something and you think it'd be better if he or she doesn't know, so I'll lay low on the cost.
He never has any kind of reaction.
Doesn't he at all?
You know, no.
Good for
last
him.
Year, I wanted to buy this pair of boots that was, I think they're Fry boots, and they were a different version of them, and they were like $400. And I said, but I can get them for $265 or $320 or something. And he said, okay.
Wow.
I mean, he said, good work. I don't really buy
unusual.
Things like crazy. I really don't.
But you did take the tactic, that, and my wife has done this, and I would also say that every other woman on the planet has done this, which is you don't say the price, you say how much you're saving.
Well, maybe I
saved
did that
$232.
Right.
Well,
right.
Cause it sound,
and
then
I
when,
bought a house.
Well, if you saved money on it, it would be worth it. I guess I did start out by saying, okay, so get this. They're
right.
$464, and I got them for $232.
But you know that he, like, I think that, because I would never think to present any purchase that way, but Terry does it no matter what she buys. I'm told the normal price and then the price that she paid. But I, you know.
We like it more if we get it on sale. It's like I wouldn't have liked them as much if I paid full price
right.
for them.
But aren't you using that more as a way of saying, I didn't spend this much money.
No.
I saved this. You're not at all.
No, I'm using it as look at how good I am at finding a deal.
Oh, all right. That's valid. There's a website that is discussing which secrets it's okay to keep from your spouse and which not. Now, the website has a very foreboding name, SheKnows.com.
Oh, I know that website.
Have you been on SheKnows.com? Doesn't that, the name of it says, I know you think you're pulling the wool over her eyes.
Right. That's why I go to that website.
She's on to you. So they list, a woman named Sherry Amatenstein has listed some of the things that she says, in her opinion, it's okay in a healthy relationship to lie about. You tell me if you agree with these. It's okay to keep this secret that he, your husband, your boyfriend, he is not the best lover that you have ever had, that is a good secret to keep. I would agree with her on that one. If you've been with somebody that's a little more pleasing to you, why in the world would you share that with him? What good could come of that?
Well, I'm sorry for anyone in that situation.
I am too, but you know that, you know, if you take 100% of the population, in some cases, they've been with somebody that's better.
Then
you
tell them what you want and make it better.
Would you ever use the phrase, you're definitely in the top 10? That would be damaging, wouldn't it?
I'd do top 5.
Top 5 is more, yeah, that seems right.
Yeah, I don't think you should say that, but I think you should communicate and maybe make him as good as the person you think it was.
That's ambitious. I like the sound of that. Yeah. Yeah, I would. I agree on that one. Don't tell them there was.
Why would you say that?
I don't know.
Honey, I love you, but really, you're not the best lover. You want to know who is?
Yeah. And then what guy would say, yes, please tell me.
Yeah. That's...
Please tell me. Here's a secret that they say, according to SheKnows.com, it's okay to keep. And that is that sometimes you might sneak a little junk food.
What?
That every once in a while, like let's say every once in a while you have an Almond Joy bar hidden in a cabinet. And every once in a while you eat one, even though you say, I'm really watching what I eat. I'm not eating a lot of junk food. But every now and then you sneak a candy bar, some cake, some cookies.
Give what you want when you want it.
But there would be some partners that would take offense to that. It's like, hey, I thought you were gonna cut that stuff out, but that's okay if you're gonna.
I don't understand that.
It seems a little archaic.
What partner would not want you to have?
Whatever
I'll be
makes
honest
you happy.
With you, Jim. Whenever he goes to Walgreens to pick up prescriptions, which in our family is a lot,
yeah,
he always gets the chocolate covered peanuts.
Yeah.
Just the nice brand
I've
or whatever.
That. Yeah, the in-house brand.
Well, I never know he gets them because he does hide those.
Does that bother you?
Well, yeah, because when I buy stuff,
it's community property.
I don't hide stuff. He hides it.
Have you talked to him about it?
No.
Not? You should talk to him about it. I'm sure once he knows it bothers you, he'll do it
well,
more.
Well, he knows it bothers me because every once in a while I'll see him eating them and I'll go, where'd those come from? In my stash.
Oh,
I said, oh, where's your stash? Not going to tell you.
For those of you who haven't seen Jimmy, he's got a huge mustache. That's what he means, right? There's all kinds of nuts and cookies in his mustache. You know what Terry does that I would never do this to somebody, but this is a regular thing. If we get an ice cream that has a lot of stuff in it, you know how Ben and Jerry's has like cookies and
Chubby Hubby
yeah,
has a million things in
it. Yeah,
something's
got a bunch of pretzels and everything. So I'll leave it in the freezer, and then I'll come back, and it's just vanilla ice cream. There's nothing else in there but vanilla ice cream.
I've been known to do that.
That's illegal. You can't do that.
That's why you get your own little pints for everybody.
I know.
We do that now.
That's smarter.
Because the kids were fighting over their flavors, so now we just put our names on
right.
it. And for some reason, mine is always gone.
Hmm.
Always.
Should put a video camera on it.
I'm sick of boys.
Let's do this. We'll take a quick break, and then more of the secrets that according to SheKnows.com, you're allowed to keep from your spouse. If you have any 312-981-7200, It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN. There's a website called SheKnows.com. I had never heard of it today. Wendy, you're a frequent visitor to SheKnows.com?
Yes, and a listener, 219, says, I think She Knows is single.
Oh, probably. That would make a lot of sense, wouldn't it? They are telling you, or a woman named Sherry Amatenstein is telling you, which secrets she believes it's okay for you to keep from your spouse or your significant other. So far, we're kind of mixed on the reaction. What about this one? Would you tell your husband if your mother didn't think that he was good enough for you?
These are, honestly, I agree with the caller that says she knows is single, because why would you even bring this stuff up?
It would be a trouble spot on almost
all of
these.
Is it going to help anything? Is it going to solve anything? Is it going to be good for them to know? No. So, of course, why would you bring that up?
Yeah,
my mom never liked you. Why would you do
that?
Say that
and see what happens. Right,
my mom didn't like any guy I ever dated until Jim.
But didn't that say to you, okay, now I have something, right?
Well, no, you don't want that. I almost dumped him after she liked him. I didn't, but, you know, what does that matter? I mean, it's good if your in-law-to-be likes you, but, I mean...
It would be a nice plus, wouldn't it?
But it's not a deal breaker. This is a mean list.
This is a mean list. I'm writing those words down on here. This is a mean list.
You're not the best lover I ever had, and my mom hates you.
Right. Say that next time.
Don't eat that Kit Kat.
It's mine. Is this secret okay to keep, that you check your ex-boyfriend's status updates on Facebook? So what they're saying there is, there was a guy that you used to date, and every once in a while on Facebook, you find out what he's up to. You would never tell Jim that if you did that. You don't do that.
I think everybody does that.
I don't do that.
I look up people that I went out with just to see if they're on Facebook.
And then once you know they're on Facebook, what do?
Nothing. I mean, chances are if they are, I'm already friends with them.
Right. He's good with that? He's aware of this?
I don't discuss it with him, but I don't keep it from him.
You don't check in with old friends, Bill?
Old friends, yes. I'm trying to think of any of the girls I've ever dated. I don't think
No, because they're in a trunk somewhere.
Not all of them are in a trunk somewhere. A couple of them accidentally fell into trunks somewhere. But I'm trying to think if there's any...
Bill Left Trunk Show.
I'm racking my brain trying to think of a girl that I went out with that I've looked up on Facebook. I don't think I have.
I really haven't, because I'm friends with most of them on Facebook.
Are you? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was high school.
Jim's cool with that. He's fine.
I didn't ask him. You want to call him and ask him?
No.
He's friends with people he went out with in high school.
And that doesn't bother you even a little bit?
Why should it?
No. All right.
Why? Really? That would bother you?
It wouldn't. No, because I trust Terry enough, but... I can
obviously
see where,
not.
No, I do, but I could see where in some relationships, not necessarily the one you're in or the one I'm in, but I could see where people would not want that to be, can't you?
It has led to trouble.
I know.
Just
it has.
An innocent, you know.
If there's
check.
Trouble to be had, there was trouble that was coming. Yes, Facebook would make it easier, but if
it does.
If trouble happens, trouble was going to happen.
But don't you think this facilitates it just a little bit easier? Like in the old days, it was tough to find those people, but now they're a click away. You don't think so?
Can't anybody resist temptation anymore? Can't anybody just leave the past where it was?
You would hope.
I'm sure someone can.
Right. But there are some who cannot. That would be a problem, right? Don't you think?
I guess it could make it easier.
What about this as a secret? You are able to keep your friend's confidences to yourself, meaning if somebody close to you, a friend, told you something and said, hey, this is just between you and me, don't tell anybody this, would you still tell your husband and think, well, he's exempt. I'm not going to tell anybody else, but I can tell him.
I think Jim, he can find out whatever. I trust him.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean...
But would that be betraying a friend? Let's say one of your best friends from forever says, hey, Wendy, I got to tell you something, and this is just for you.
Your husband's a bad lover. He steals your big cat bars, and your mom hates him.
Would you think that, okay, she said to me, I can't tell anybody else, but I think I can still tell my husband. Would you still tell him that or not?
None of my friends would tell. If truly a friend said, listen, you cannot share this with anyone, not even Jim, I would
then
hold
you'd honor
that truth. Yeah.
Right. But then to Jim, it's like, hey, we don't keep, you and I don't keep secrets. You gotta
we
tell
really them. Don't. Listen to this, Bill. 630 says, my neighbor asked to borrow money from my mom. I have not told my husband yet. It was $10,000.
No, that's too much
it.
Money. That would be too much
it.
Money.
Yeah, don't tell your husband that because the neighbor will be in Bill's trunk.
Would you tell your husband this, or should this remain a secret? You have noticed, this again, according to SheKnows.com, the writer is Sherry Amatenstein. She said, would you keep this to yourself, or would you share this with your husband, the fact that you have noticed that he has grown a spare tire? He's put on a couple of pounds. There's a little more of him than you're used to. Would that be the kind of thing you'd keep to yourself, or would you say, hey, you know?
Again, why would you tell him this?
Well, that's the point. They're thinking, is this better for him, better for his health?
No.
You don't think so? You'd just keep it to yourself?
A lot of people who have a spare tire know they have a spare tire.
Right.
What, do you got to tell them?
What's the limit? Like, how big would he have to get before you'd say?
I would never say a word,
hey,
ever.
Hey, Augustus Gloop, you got to do something.
So, bicycle tire, no. Car tire, no.
You'd
tractor
say something.
Tire.
If Terry put on weight, you'd say something to her?
I wouldn't have to. She would tell me. She would say, what's going on with me? I've put on, you know, and then the man's job in that is to say, I don't think so.
I think it would be rude to tell your significant
right.
other. Again, if somebody's put on weight, they know they've put on weight.
Right.
I can't imagine saying, hey, honey.
But women are so much more sensitive to weight gain. Men are sensitive to a point, but women are more sensitive. Like if I put on a few pounds, I don't think she'd say anything about it. I would notice, of course, but I wouldn't be upset if she'd say, because I would just go, I know, and I got to do something about it. But the other way around, that would be pretty damaging.
I think she knows a single. These are just things that would be hurtful to the
Every
other person.
Every one of them.
Yeah.
I know.
Irving, how are you?
I'm a pathological liar.
What? Why? What do you say?
Terrible husband. Thanks a lot. Okay, it was going so well.
Why?
All those things to me are so minor and little that, you know, and as you said, Wendy, that if trouble's going to happen in a marriage, it's going to happen in some avenue or not, you know, somewhere. And we've been together 30 years, you know, married 26 of them. And, you know, we have ups and downs, but, you know, not telling her how much I actually paid for an old Jeep that I came home with that she still refuses to ride in. You know, I'm not going to give her the real price on it. I'm not going to tell her, I'm not going to admit that. Yeah, I looked up so-and-so on Facebook to see what she was up to. No way. No way to that. And so, you know, but eating candy bars and minor purchases, I don't need to ask her for anything. And she doesn't care. And same me when I put cheap.
Irving, don't you think, though, it has to do with the volume of this? If your wife was on a daily basis looking up old boyfriends on Facebook, that would be a problem. If it was a one or two, yeah. once or twice thing where you go, all right, there's somebody from her past she was curious about. But if it was right. happening a lot. Yeah.
But how would you know? People don't just honest. Fess up and say, oh, you know who I looked up today?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Why would I say that? You know, well, why are you looking her up? I don't know. It's not just, well, like, you know.
Well, I see how awful she looks really, now. That's what I'd
that's
say.
That's a good one.
She shows her emotions.
All right.
Great, you know.
Irving, instead of buying that Jeep, you should have bought a new car phone.
I'm sorry.
No, that's all right.
Irving, thank you.
You know, this is my son. Mine got stolen. I had to get his little, i5. I used to have
All right, I can barely hear you, and thank you for calling, Irving.
I can only make out every fifth word, but I agree with what he said, every fifth word.
But these are just things you wouldn't offer.
Well, I think...
Well, coming home and not saying what you really paid for a car, I don't think I would ever do that.
I would never do that. We bought it together.
Something that dramatic, something that's in the tens of thousands of dollars, you want to be as honest as you can, but...
Well, you should discuss it before it's purchased.
Right, a major purchase like that, absolutely.
It's like, you know, this she knows has a whole separate life from her husband.
I know.
If she isn't even married.
I don't know that
Maybe
she
it's a man Ooh. And saying she knows.
That's possible. That's entirely possible. We need to take a break. Steve has the news, and then you know who's coming by.
Yes, I do.
Tom Dreesen is stopping by. We'll talk to Tom Dreesen after Steve's news. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Well, Tom Dreesen is without a doubt one of Chicago's finest stand-up comics of all time. 60 appearances on The Tonight Show. How many with Letterman, by the way?
Over
50,
yeah.
And at least 50.
He let me host the show, too, when he had the shingles.
I remember that. Yeah,
so every time I'd see David, I'd say, you know, you don't look so good. You need to take some time.
Have you seen him recently, Tom?
Yeah, and we email. I'm trying to get him here to Chicago for an event you're going to be talking about. I'm trying to get him to come here to that museum event, a broadcaster's event, because I owe him. Him and I made a bet in 2005 on his show on the air. The Bears were playing Indianapolis in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You remember? And I made, of course, he's from Indianapolis.
Yeah.
And I made the bet for, I said, listen, well, for dinner. I'm thinking dinner in New York and some little Italian restaurant. Dave said, okay, and he won. Well, then he names a place here in Chicago he wanted to come to that I found out later was like $1,000 a plate.
Oh,
that the
good.
Chef comes out. It's only like four tables. And anyhow, I said, well, I lost the bet and he never showed up. Now that place closed. I went, okay.
Oh.
He found another place where it's about that expensive. And he wants me to. So I said, okay, come to Chicago while I'm here, and we'll go to a Cub game, and we'll do it. You know? But he looks like Gabby Hayes now. You know,
he's got a huge, like a mountain man beard.
I know.
And he loves it.
Why do men always grow beards when they're retiring?
Not all men. Men who have not much hair on top.
Is that what it
they
is?
They start growing a whole lot of hair on their face.
Look, we're going to plug. You have a schedule that is unparalleled in show business history, and we'll plug any and all the dates. But I have to ask you,
sure.
The Cubs last night clinched as NL Central champions.
Yes.
It doesn't happen very often. I know what a Cubs fan you are. What does this mean to you?
Well, I mean, I'm thrilled, but I'll tell you, I'm disappointed, and I'll tell you why. Because in May, the Cubs said to me, when do you want to throw out the first pitch, and when would you like to sing the seventh inning?
Yeah.
And I took the schedule out, and I said, I'll call you back in an hour. And I figured in my brain, September 20th, Tuesday, will be when they clinch.
Mm-hmm.
That was my brain figure. I was off by 4 days.
Oh. Yes.
So, no, I'm thrilled. I mean, you know, it's the first time in 108 years that they've gotten this kind of a team.
Right.
And in Vegas, you know, they're predicted to win. And
from day one, they were the odds-on favorite from day one to win the World Series, and that doesn't happen. The Cubs just...
No.
That's
and I predicted 3 years ago that in 2016 they'd be in the World Series. It's on my Facebook. I mean, I'm not making this up. But I'm not saying that I'm a genius, but Rick Sutcliffe, who is a great baseball mind, told me 5 years ago, he said, the Cubs are going to be in the World Series, Tom. You're not going to like what's happening the first few years.
Yeah.
They're going to be in last place. They're going to gut the team and build up the farm system. And Rick explained it to me, what Theo Epstein was all about. And sure enough, so I start, who knows more about baseball than Rick Sutcliffe? So
right.
I start saying, 2016, you know, they'll be in the World Series. And I really believe they will.
Oh, I hope so.
Well, here's a quick thing. A guy interviewed me the other day, and he said, you old-time Cub fans, tell the truth. You're waiting for the other shoe to drop. Aren't you a little worried that some... I said, yes, us old-time Cub fans are. But the young Cub fans are not. And those young kids on that field,
right.
They don't have any of those fears at all.
None whatsoever. Yeah,
none whatsoever. The oldest player in the infield is 26 years old.
27 is Rizzo, is 27, old. And that's the oldest.
That's you. So, I mean, those kids, they don't have all that kind of superstitious...
Right.
Goat. And all that kind
no
of stuff.
No curse. They're just out there having fun and winning games, and that's how you win everything.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. Don't let it get in your head. September 20th, you're going to be singing the seventh inning stretch at Wrigley.
I'm throwing out the first pitch, and then I'm singing. September 21st, I'm in Barrington with my golf tournament at Macrae National in Barrington. And all the comedians of Chicago are going to be the celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the night, what we do to entertain the people who bought to play golf, each comedian gets up and tells one joke. And then we have a joke off, and there's three left, and then they win the Tom Dreesen Funny. I'm not in it, you know. So they get a silly little plaque. But
that'll
they're
be
all,
fun.
All the Chicago comedians are such good guys, and they're all helping me out with
if
this.
If people want to come out and participate, what's the best bet for them to do this? Offhand?
Pardon me?
Do you know offhand? How do they reach you if they want
to? They can. It's for the Illinois Fatherhood Initiative.
Yeah.
You know, so you can go on their website, Illinois Fatherhood Initiative, and I should have those numbers in front of me. I'm so sorry.
Kevin, see if you can find some information. We'll get the information on our website.
Then
we'll
September 24th, I'm in Park Forest. I'm just a cheap plug, but I'm at the Freedom Hall in Park Forest doing my one-man show, An Evening of Laughter and Memories of Sinatra. So mm-hmm. It's a 90-minute show. It's stand-up comedy and a lot of laughs. But then I go into a bar. And the lights go down low, and there's a bottle of Jack Daniels on the stage. And I take them back. Frank Sinatra starts singing. And I take them from this little boy from Harvey, Illinois, hearing Sinatra on the jukebox while he was shining shoes. That same little boy, one day, years later, was carrying Frank Sinatra's coffin out of the church in Beverly Hills. So I take them on that journey. That's going to be a fun show. And by the way, if you want tickets for that show, a cheap plug.
Go on.
708-747-0580. That's 708-747-0580. 1-800-520-0580. And Chuck Sabe will give you good seats because there's not a bad seat in the house. And you can have a lot of fun.
And now you have to continue because you mentioned David Letterman. You're trying to get him to come into Chicago for the Chicago thing. And you will be honored at the Museum of Broadcast Communications on Tuesday, September 27th, an evening with Tom Dreesen, celebrating a life in comedy at the Museum of Broadcast Communications. It would be pretty great if Letterman could come see you there.
I'm hoping he will because he's a broadcaster.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I hope Bill and Wendy will come there as well.
If you'll have us, we'll show up.
Oh, I'll put your name on the invited guest list.
Did you ever try, Tom, to calculate the odds of what you just said of a kid who grows up in a suburb of Chicago in Harvey listening to Sinatra? Like, it's a billion to one shot that you would become an opening act and a friend and a trusted compatriot of his. That just doesn't happen.
Oh, and I can't tell you how many times I've pinched myself flying in his private jet. I remember one time coming from, we were at Riverfront Arena in Cincinnati, and we were going to fly in here to Chicago to open the Chicago Theater. They had just put $8 million in the Chicago Theater and renovating.
Yeah.
And I had been touring with him that time 2.5 years. I ultimately was with him 14 years. But I just took it for granted. You know, I didn't take it for granted. I was a big fan of him. But we're flying. We just finished the show. Frank got standing ovation after standing ovation. He came off stage. He said, "Let's go, Tommy." We jumped in the limo, squad cars and limousines, rushed us to the jet. Moments later, we're flying over the venue, heading for Chicago, you know, going to the Chicago Theater. And Frank's talking. He said, "We're going to go to the Chicago Theater, Tom. I love Chicago." He's telling me about Chicago. He said, "We're going to knock him dead, Tommy." Mm-hmm. In that moment, I got so choked up.
Mm-hmm.
I all of a sudden, the reality, oh my God, I'm in Frank Sinatra's private jet flying to my hometown where my name is going to be on the marquee with Frank Sinatra, where I used to stand outside that theater with a shoeshine box. I cannot tell you. I was so choked up, I couldn't talk. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad Frank kept talking because I think I would burst into tears. It was so over. That moment never happened to me again. But I remember it like it was yesterday. You know, I was just, it just hit me all of a sudden. Oh my God.
Your dream came true.
Yeah. I'm pinching myself. And that happened so many times in my life, you know. I'm a lucky guy. I worked hard. But I'm
absolutely worked hard. Yeah. And we were talking about an event earlier. This is the Tom Dreesen Celebrity Invitational Golf Tournament. And Kevin, you have some information on that, on how to find out more. That's in Barrington.
Yeah. So if you go to, it's at the McRae Memorial Golf Club in Barrington. It's Wednesday, September 21st. If you go to fourfathers.org, you can get all the info there.
Fourfathers.org has all the information.
Yeah.
You can stay for a little bit.
Oh, sure.
Okay,
yeah.
Tom Dreesen is here. His own website, of course, TomDreesen.com, for all information on where to find Tom. Stick around. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
We are chatting with Tom Dreesen. Really, I look at your schedule, and again, you can go to TomDreesen.com and find out all the events that are going on there. We did leave one off, October 1st, Master of Ceremonies for Illinois Chiefs of Police at Drury Lane.
Yeah, that's the last gig before I go back to the West Coast. But I'm also, I forgot, Thursday, September 22nd, I'm the Master of Ceremonies for the 50th anniversary of the 100 Club. You know, that they take care of when our men and women are killed in the line of duty, our first responders, that the 100 Club takes care of their families and the children and gets them to college and takes care of the mortgages and stuff like that. Joe Ahern is behind that. And so he asked me MC, and that's going to be a fun night, too,
at
the Four Seasons Hotel.
Yep.
So... And then I'm going over to Wendy's house. I'm going to wash windows, mow Bill's lawn.
Thank you for that. That's so nice of you to do.
We could use the extra help. We really appreciate it.
I have one more Frank Sinatra question for you. We had Frank Jr. on a couple months prior to his passing. A few months ago we had him on. And there was something I wanted so badly to ask him, but I didn't feel it was right to ask him. But I do want to ask you this question. There's been an idea that Ronan Farrow, this is Mia Farrow's son, who grew up with the belief that Woody Allen was his father. There's a lot of people who say Woody can't be his dad. Frank Sinatra is his dad. He looks exactly like Frank Sinatra. I don't know if you've seen the comparisons, Tom, but it's kind of uncanny. He looks just like him. What do you think?
Well, you know, I saw the, and I don't know. I was touring with Frank when he would have been conceived.
Yeah.
And I find it inconceivable. Honestly, because Frank was so in love with Barbara. That, you know, you remember, he was married to Barbara. It was his fourth wife. He was married to her longer than he was married to all three of his wives put together.
And Barbara is Zeppo Marx's former wife, right?
Zeppo. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Zeppo. Yeah, it, Zeppo.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. She, Barbara Marx, was her maiden.
Boy, this showbiz thing is just very
incestuous.
Incestual.
But what it is, that boy, I saw him. He's got blue eyes like Frank. However,
yeah.
So did Mia, and Mia's side of her family were fair like that.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
He doesn't look like Woody, let's put it that way, but well, he can be taking over or taking from all of her side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's possible. I mean, who knows? You know, you go get a blood test if you.
Right.
You know, if I was the boy, I would want to know.
Yeah, sure.
You know, I would want to know. But I
didn't he take a DNA test or something?
I don't know.
To my knowledge, he didn't, and I would think that you would do that.
That'd be the first thing I'd go do to try and figure it out.
But Mia has said that even though she and Frank were no longer married, she kept in contact with him. They remained close, so we don't
maybe
know.
Maybe not that close.
Well, I'll tell you, that was Frank's M.O. You know, at his funeral, I spoke at his funeral, and I was a pallbearer at his funeral. And you know, they were there. His first wife, Nancy, who's now 99 and going to be 100, I think, this year.
God bless her.
No, 99 this year, but because Frank would be 100 this year.
Yeah.
But also his Mia was there, and, of course, Barbara. And if Ava would have been alive, she would have been there.
Ava Gardner?
You know, when I was going through my divorce, I went into Vegas. I was working with Frank at the MGM Grand. And he said to me, is the wife here? And I said, I'm going through a divorce. He went, oh, Tommy, that's too bad. He said, I can't give you any advice on marriage, but I can give you advice on divorce.
Yeah.
Because he'd been divorced. He said, stay friends with her. Not for you, not for her, for the children.
Yeah.
Stay friends, no matter how much it hurts. Stay friends. I wish I'd have paid heed to that. But he did.
It's tough to do.
Yeah, he stayed friends, especially when they're bitter divorce, but he stayed friends with his exes. They were the, you know, they were all there.
Yeah.
And he was an extraordinary guy in that way. You know?
Yeah.
All right. Someone has texted and wants to know what you think about, I didn't realize this, the Sabre Room closed down. Is that Hickory Hills out there?
I think it's in Hickory Hills.
In June.
It was in Hickory Hills.
It closed down. South Suburbs lost another iconic meeting place when the Sabre Room shut its doors after 67 years of hosting weddings, New Year's Eve parties, and Hollywood stars, including Bob Hope and Frank Sinatra.
Yeah. Well, you know what my feelings are about, either. For your young listeners, you would know, but there was a time when nightclubs prevailed in the world, in America, you know, where entertainers, comedians and singers and whoever, that's where you cut your teeth in nightclubs, you know. So it was the Sabre Room, just another example of that era is gone. You know, Tim Reed and I started out, as you know, as America's first black and white comedy team. History shows Tim Reed and I were the last black and white comedy team. We wrote a book called Tim and Tom, an American Comedy in Black and White, which is now becoming a movie.
Oh.
You know, we've got the final draft the other day.
Excellent. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. And I'm looking forward.
Who's playing you?
Well, you know, Brad Pitt's a little too old now. You want to hear a funny story?
Yeah.
Ryan Phillippe. You know Ryan Phillippe?
Yeah, sure.
He wanted to play me. I was having dinner. Clint Eastwood's a real good buddy of mine. I'm name dropping, I know. But Frank Sinatra introduced me to Clint Eastwood 35 years ago. We've been friends ever since. So we hang out together. So we were eating at a place called Dantana's. And Ryan Phillippe saw me sitting with Clint. And Clint had directed him in the movie Flags of Our Fathers.
Right.
So I think he saw me sitting with Clint, thinking maybe Clint was doing the movie. He came across the room, but behind him, all these girls are going, oh, it's Ryan Phillippe. Oh, my God, it's Ryan Phillippe. They're passing out. He came to my table. He said, I read your book. And if they make a movie, I want to play you. And I said, I was a lot better looking than you when I was
here. Oh, snap.
And he thought I was serious. And he got a forlorn look on his face. I said, no, I'm only kidding. The girls behind you are passing out. But who knows? I mean, whoever they want to cast.
You know. But when you talk about a place like the Sabre Room, that really is an era that's come and gone, sadly, because those dinner clubs, those nightclubs, that was pretty pretty romantic night, wasn't it?
Which, by the way, that's what the museum, Dean Richards is going to be interviewing me, but it's about Chicago, your start. 48 years I've been in show business. How did it begin? Where did it begin? And it began in those clubs. I had never been on stage alone. Tim Reed and I went on stage together for the first time. You know where you worked? The Guys and Gals, the Dating Club Lounge, the Burning Spear, the High Chaparral. These are all black clubs on the south side of Chicago. We worked all black clubs called what they call affectionately the Chitlin' Circuit.
Mm-hmm.
We went from there to the Sugar Shack in Boston, the 20 Grand in Detroit, where all the Motown acts in those days, the Motown acts in Detroit, Motown was in Detroit, those acts broke in their shows at the 20 grand before they went to Vegas. Smokey Robinson and the Miracles, the Temptations, really? The OJs, Diana Ross. So, and then we worked all white clubs in the North and South, Tim and I. So, but there were nightclubs. And in Chicago, when you finally made big time, you went to Mr. Kelly's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, Mr. Kelly's is where Gibson's is at now, Gibson's Steakhouse. But that was the epitome of success in Chicago.
Sure.
Where Barbara Streisand, Bette Midler, you know, Tim and I opened for Bette Midler.
Mm-hmm.
She had a little scrawny keyboard player with real thick glasses that if somebody would have said one day he's going to become a sex symbol, we'd have said, get, it was Barry Manilow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, was
a keyboard player. Oh, my God. Yeah.
So a long answer to a very short question. The Sabre Room, all of that, it's an era gone.
Yeah.
There are no more nightclubs anymore. You know,
which I'm surprised that, you know, like you like the supper clubs.
Yeah, Wisconsin.
Why don't they do something to keep the dinner clubs open?
I wonder.
It cost too much. To be honest with you, you know what happened was you would go, say you want to go to Mr. Kelly's. You'd bring your car downtown from some of the burbs or wherever you were. You got to park the car. Then you got to you duke the maitre d' a little bit. You take care of the maitre d'. You know, you get good seats and you have dinner.
Right.
And then comes the show. It's a pretty expensive night. Then all of a sudden the Mill Run Theater opens up and you go out to Mill Run Theater. Free parking.
Yeah.
Huge parking. Like thousands of parking. 2,500 seats.
Right.
In the round. Not really a bad seat.
Yeah.
And it costs you like $15.
Yeah.
Or $20, you know.
That's what it is.
Yeah, the business.
Well, it is a pleasure to have you. If Rokan and Anna DeVantis weren't coming in, I would love to keep talking to you. So would Bill. But thank you for coming by.
Rokan's coming in?
It's on the schedule.
Rokan still works in Chicago?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
I got to see. He must be 97, 98 years old now.
Let me remind you, I think you were on a show about a week ago, weren't you?
Yeah, he was only 94. Rokan's an old friend.
Please keep us posted with the Tim and Tom movie.
I will, yes.
And
that's so cool, Tom.
That is
that's
really
great.
Cool.
Wow.
And congratulations, you're being honored at the Museum of Broadcast Communications. That's Tuesday, September 27th right here in Chicago. Go to tomdreesen.com. He's got a lot of appearances. And bring the Cubs some good luck on the 20th.
Well, what is it? They don't need it now.
It's not over yet.
It's going to be exciting. Tom, thanks. Great to see you.
Good to be
Anytime
here.
Anytime you want to come on,
thanks,
be
Bill.
Here.
Thanks, Wendy.
More next. We'll find out what Ro and Anna have. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.